is a Mishnah in Shvi'is that's quoted by the Gemara in Sotin. So if you take a look in the Tosis on Pei Beis on the base, Ibn Maska lo yigad aladim chazerim. The Tosis quotes a Mishnah in Shvi'is and it's discussed in the Gemara in Sotin. What does it say? Einos mischor bin avedus atreifus. One is not allowed to be in a non-kosher business, non-kosher food business. And the Gemara Pesachim learns it out from Sukkim that Nevelis and Treifis and Behemet Meya, pork and so on, is also Bachil or Mutabano, and despite the fact that it's Mutabano, one is not allowed to make his business on it. Let's say someone was asking me just yesterday, if a person is a waiter in a restaurant, and part of his job is that he has to serve Macholos Asur. So all the customers are non-Jews. So there's no question of lifni yiver. So there's no, it's mutabano. He's not doing skarib Macholos Asur. The owner of the restaurant, who's buying wholesale and selling retail, or the owner of a food store, where he buys wholesale and he sells retail and he makes profit on the non-kosher food, he's in violation of the prohibition of doing skarib Macholos Asur. The waiter is not really doing skarib. He has a job, but what happens if they cook basa b'chalav? It's a basa b'chalav deraisa. Is also b'hano. Basa b'chalav derabban is muta b'hano. Basa b'chalav deraisa is also b'hano. So if the job of the waiter is to serve the basa b'chalav deraisa, or to serve non-kosher wine, then mikir adin is also b'hano. Stami einim is also b'hano. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch has a kula that Bizman and Zevet, the Nochrim are not bekeim the Nisuch. Most of the Nochrim do not pour wine. Lavoy de Zara. So because they're not bekeim the Nisuch, so the Ramon says if you have a situation of a Hefsid Merube, we rely on the opinions. We say that Stam Yainim Bizman and Zez, Mutabano. Let's say Nochri owes me $100,000 and he went bankrupt. And he has a liquor shop, and the only way for him to pay the full amount, the partial amount, is he's going to deliver cases and cases of Stam Yein. He says, Rabbi, either take it or leave it. That's all he has. The only way to pay. So if I'm going to be machmir to assume that Stam Yein is also bano, so I'll get paid nothing. If I'll assume it's muta bano, so at least I'll get paid something or all, whatever. So the Ramah says, if you have a hefsid merubah, then you make all the Stam Yein is muta bano. So that, but if there's no hefsid merubah, not. So let's say the fellow can be a waiter in one restaurant or a waiter in a different restaurant. He can drive a taxi cab. Doesn't have to get, or he doesn't need the whole job. He doesn't need the whole thing just for fun. So if the fellow's going to be a waiter, he's going to get paid for delivering, for serving the people, basa b'chalav deraisa, which is asa b'hanoa, stam yena, which is also asa b'hanoa. If there's no hefsid merubah, we assume that we're machmet to treat it like yisuri hano. So that's considered getting hanoah. There's a gemara in the last perek in the Maseches Avodah Zarah. Let's say a fellow's a truck driver, and they ask him to deliver basa b'chalav deraisa stam yeinim. So he gets paid not to drive an empty truck. He gets paid to drive a truck and to deliver the yisuri hanoah from one location to the other. So he's making his money off of yisuri hanoah. So that's also, you're not allowed to get hanoah. That's a form of getting hanoah. It's a big discussion. Rabbi Kiveger and the Chassam Sefer and all of those who were corresponding at that time had a big question. How come the fellow who drives the hearse is allowed to get paid? They don't pay him for driving an empty hearse. They pay him to drive with the dead body in. No, the dead body is also banor. So let's say in some places they pay the Chevek Kadisha for doing a tara. And they pay, if they're nochrim, if they're non-Jews who drive the hearse, there's no problem. A non-Jew is permitted to get hanor from the mason. But if it's a Jewish driver, a Jewish people who are doing atara on a mace, how can they get paid a salary? Isn't that a violation of Yisuri Hanoah? They're getting paid for doing activities with the Yisuri Hanoah. That's like driving the truck and delivering the Yisuri Hanoah. So that's a problem. They give different suggestions why they think it was mutter. But Mikir Adin Al Pipashtis for Neymar should be awesome. So again, so let's say if a person has a shop where he sells basa b'chalav deraisa to non-Jews, there's no lifnei iver, but he's getting hanoah from basa b'chalav deraisa, and basa b'chalav deraisa is also hanoah. if he's selling basar b'cholov derabbanon, or he's selling macholos asuris deraisa, but they're muta b'hanoa, so then he's not in violation of isuri hanoa, but he's in violation of a different prohibition. This mishnah in Shviyas, and it's in schar b'nevelus etreifus. The Gemara in Kol Shod, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chav Gimel learns it out from Pesukim. It's also b'achila muta b'hanoa, and even though it's muta b'hanoa, but this hanoa you're not allowed to get. To do schayre, you're not allowed to do. So that's a big question. The Gemara darshins are all out from Pesukim. That's a big machlokes in the Poskim in Yerodeya. The beginning of the second Chelik Yerodeya, that the Gemara really darshin out this din from Pesukim. This is a real drasha Gemara deraisa. This prohibition of starab b'macholos hasuris is an isa deraisa. Or should it be perhaps assumed that the whole thing is only an asmachta mederabbanan? But on the level of deraisa, it does make sense to distinguish between shar hanoes and the hanoa of doing schar. So that's a machlokes. Many assume that it's only, what's the difference whether it's an isa derais and isa derabbanan? It's an isa derabbanan, so there's room a little bit to be makel sometimes. Why should anybody want to be makel? The reason is very clear, because the Jews lived in Golos under very difficult circumstances, and very often the Nazis and the other Nochrim made it so impossible for them to make a living that the only way Rishai to make a parnasa was to be in a non-kosher food business. So if there's any tzad lahokel, so the Gedolim throughout all the generations felt you have to see to it that people should make a parnasa. There's no mitzvah to live in poverty. There's no mitzvah to be rich, but there's no mitzvah to live in poverty. So you have to make a parnasa. So many poskim assume that these drushes in Pesachim Daf Chav Gimel are only with the Rabbanon. The whole Nisa is only with the Rabbanon. So if there's a tzad lahokel, so there's if there's some tzadim lahokel, so there's what to rely on. So the Taz has a discussion of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, not like Tosfos on pay base on base, the Rambam writes that there is an exception to the rule that chelev is muta b'schoro. Tosfos says beferish not so. Chelev is muta to sell, it's a pasuk in Chumash. Chelev nevela, chelev trefi yasa l'chom melocha, v'ocha lo sachlu. You're not allowed to eat it, but you can get hanor from it. What kind of hanor? You sell it. So Tosfos says, wait a minute, how can you sell chelev? Is not schor b'macholos asuris. So Tosfos says, hecha delo koi l'achila. Chelev is only, that's what they quote from the Yerushalmi, that schor b'macholos asuris, let's say to be megadol chazerim. So what do you need? The Mishnah writes a din that's asur midirabbanon, eh megadol chazerim, mechol mokon. Mishnah 9 tests on the base, you're not allowed to grow pigs. All over the world, not only Eretz Yisrael, not only Surya has a Kedusha Soros Midirabbanon, even in America, you're not allowed to grow Chazer. What's wrong with growing Chazer? Gemara tells the whole story of Mishum Maisha Shohoya. That's on Pei Beis on the base. The whole story connected with the civil war between the two factions of the Chashmenoi. Kishitzor Beis Chashmenoi Zalzan, the first white line on that Pei Beis on the base. The Tosfos and all of Mishanim ask the question, what do you need Chazer Midirabbanon to prohibit? Shalom legadol chazerim, chazerim ha-macholos asuris. What's he going to be megadol chazerim for? Just for fun? No, he's going to be megadol chazerim and sell them. He's going to make money on it. So that's chorb ha-macholos asuris. Of course, it's an isa deraisa. What do you need mishum ha-isa shohaya? So Tosfos says, no. The isa of chorb ha-macholos asuris is only when it's oimed lachilo. If I have a non-kosher store and I'm selling non-kosher food, then nokrim, so there's no bifne either. But there's a prohibition of schor b'macholos asuris. What if I'm growing chazer in order to make footballs out of the pig skin? Or I want to make gloves. I want to do something else, not for the purpose of achila. If it's not for the purpose of achila, if it's l'malocha, then it's mutter. That's what the Tosfos quotes in the Yerushalmi. That's accepted l'alocha. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody disagrees with the Yerushalmi.
Huh? Person doesn't do both.
They
use the skins and they're
going to
use the
skins. Oh, so then the Chochmas Adam, what if he doesn't do both? So the Chochmas Adam has this discussion. There used to be religious Jews who would hunt mink, apparently is an animal, I don't know, make mink coat from the fur of a mink. It's such an animal, I mean. So there were religious Jews who would hunt and trap these minks. So the main purpose was for the fur. But once they had it, so why should they throw out the flesh? So this, but it's a non-kosher animal. So they would sell the flesh to a non-Jew. So the Chachman Sodom thinks that that's permissible because the Gemara says it's only also to do Schar B'machal HaSasuris if that's, I went into business Melechatchila like that. But let's say I have a butcher shop or I have a slaughterhouse and we're shechting animals, and every so often there's a certain percentage of Nevelis and Trefus. There's a high percentage of Nevelis, that's the fault of the shechet. So if you have a high percentage of Nevelis, so you should get yourself a better shechet. Trefus, that's the fault of the farmer, that they raise the animals under non-healthy conditions and they develop a lot of trefus. But you have a certain percentage of Nevelis and Trefus all over the world. There's a certain percentage. Some of them are Mikredin, a lot of them are Bateris Chumr. They have between 20 and 30% are non-kosher. So you're going to say every time he has non-kosher and the Vedas Jebus can't sell it? No, he's really in the kosher meat business. That's called Nizdamnu. If he has 20, 30% to become the Vedas Atrefis, Mikredin or Mikdam Chumre, so he is permitted to do Schar. And you don't tell him, and whenever it's Nizdamnu, whenever he happens to have, he always has, every day. He slaughters 100 animals. He has 30 out of 100, 30%. They're going to be non-kosher. And he doesn't have to sell it right away to the first customer. The Gemara says, whenever it's Nizdamnu, so you have a right to keep it until you get a reasonable price for it. That's the Gemara on, let's say, Agershin Nizgar, Naflo Chazer, and Biyusha. So that's on Peyam and Aleph. A non-Jew converts, and his father dies, and he leaves him over a pig farm. So he doesn't have to throw it away. He doesn't have to get rid of it right away. He has a wait. He has a right to wait till he gets a reasonable amount for the Chazer. If the Gershon is Gayer, if the father dies and he leaves him, Basa B'Cholov is also Manoi. He's not allowed to sell it at all. But if he leaves him a non-kosher business, non-kosher food business, the Ger is not permitted to continue in the non-kosher food business. He has to dump it. He has to get rid of it somehow. But he doesn't have to dump it the first second after he converts. He can wait till he gets a reasonable price for it. So that's Nizdamnu. So that the Gemara has a heter of Nizdamnu. So the Chacham Sodom writes, he thinks that that's called Nizdamnu. When you go into business knowing in advance, I'm going to have a slaughterhouse. I know between 20 and 30% of all the animals we're going to slaughter are going to be in the Nevelis and Trefus. And between 70 and 80% every day is going to be kosher. So my main interest in the business is for the kosher behaviors. If they'll be non-kosher, so I'll make some money on that also. So Nizdamnu is mutter. So the Chacham Sodom thinks the same is true regarding these mink. That if you go into the fellow becomes a hunter, he's interested in hunting these animals to get the fur. Because when you get the fur, you make a fortune of money. And then once he has the animals, they may as well sell the non-kosher meat to the Nachri as well. That's a heter of Nizdamnu. So that's mutter. So you have one heter in Nizdamnu. There's so many heterim, that's why it doesn't sound like it's an Issa Deraisa, it's so fishy. So Nizdamnu is mutter, and if you're not doing it l'shem achila, you're doing it l'shem beloche, some other purpose, you're raising chazerim in order to make footballs, or in order to make gloves or shoes or something, so that would also be mutter. That would also be mutter. So Tosfos writes that the only time the pasuk says the chelad vei lochev treif yos lochom alocha, the only time is mutter, is only in a case when it's loikoi lachila. The Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes that chelav is an exception to the rule. The Rambam's opinion is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch against Tosfos. The chelav you can't be in the non, even though chelav is also bachila, a Jew is permitted to be in the chelav business. Let's say he's going to go to every butcher shop. The butchers cut out the chelav. Instead of throwing it out, they sell it to someone who's going to use it for something. So if someone's going to collect the chelav and make soap out of it, they put the chelav into expensive soap. So that's it's mutabano and it's not a melachila. That's the melacha. So that's permissible. Even according to Tosfos, it's permissible for me. The butcher who has the chelav, that's nizdamnu. So of course he's allowed to sell the chelav. Even if I'll go and I'll collect everybody's chelav, so that's not nizdamnu. That's the only thing. I focus in only on the chelav. I buy everybody's chelav. What am I going to do with it? So if I'm going to sell it to a factory, non-kosher factory, where they're going to make non-kosher salami and hot dogs or something, they're going to stuff in a lot of chelav. So that's chor b'macholos asuris for the purpose of achila. You're not allowed to. But if I'm going to collect everybody's chelav and sell it for the purpose of soap. So then Tosfos says that it's mutter. So Shulchan Aruch, they don't paskin like this Tosfos. They say not only is it mutter, if it's for the purpose of soap, it's even mutter if it's for the purpose of putting I'm going to collect everybody's cheder from all the butchers, and I'm going to sell it to a salami, a non-kosher salami company, and they're going to put it in the salami. So in Shulchan Aruch, they accept the Rambam's opinion. The cheder is an exception to the rule. It's mutter to do schar from a cheder. That's the pasuk. The cheder nevela, the cheder trefi, yos lachom, malacha, bachal, osachlu. Means that it's mutter to do schar with it. So the Taz and Yerudeya points out that the simple reading of the Rambam implies that this Iser is an Iser deraisa that we're working on. The Issa not to do schar b'macholos asur is an Issa deraisa, and here the pasuk says the chelav is an exception to the rule. If one should assume the whole prohibition is only a gzera derabbanan to begin with, gzera shem yoichal. If it's only a gzera derabbanan to begin with, not to do schar b'macholos asur is, so how does the Rambam quote a pasuk from Chumash to prove that there's no gzera derabbanan? On the level of the raisa, he could do schar with everything, with nevelus and treifus also. So where do you see the chelav is an exception to the rule? So once the Chachamim made the prohibition, so it should be Chal on Chelav as well. How does the Rambam prove his point from the Pasuk? So the Taz quotes those who said, does not Rambam seem to indicate clearly that he thinks that the Issa is an Issa deraisa? So the Taz has a famous comment. He says, no, maybe the Olam, the Rambam agrees also with the general opinion that it sounds like it's an Issa derabbanan. Doesn't really sound, it's such a vague Issa. Sounds like it's an Issa derabbanan, doesn't sound like it's an Issa deraisa. Aye, how can the Rambam prove in the pasuk the chelav treifa that there's no issa derabbanan on chelav? So the Taz suggests that big chiddush, maybe the chachamim have no right to make gzera derabbanan keneged davar hamufurish b'Torah. Why not? Why shouldn't they have a right to make gzera? Every gzera derabbanan is against the, let's say, they make b'saroif b'cholav, they prohibit it. On the level of the raisins, mutter to eat chicken that's cooked in milk. And they made a gzera derabbanan that you're not allowed to. Every gzera derabbanan is against the din that's mutam in our Torah. No, but the Taz says if it's explicit in Torah Shebichzav, Dov HaMefurish BaTorah. So the Taz thinks that's the Kavanas HaRama, that you have no right to make a gzera derabbanan. Can you add it something that's explicitly mutar, explicitly permitted by the Torah? So this is in the Achrayim point out that in Tosfos in many places they touch on the topic, at least 10 places. And 5 out of the 10 places Tosfos says like the Taz, and 5 out of 10 places Tosfos says beferish against the Taz. There are Tosfos in different Balei HaTosfos, Yesh. There are many different Balei HaTosfos. So obviously the Balei HaTosfos had a machlokes about this svara. What is this svara? Why shouldn't the Chachamim have the authority to make a gzera derabbanan keneged davar hamufurish b'Torah? So it sounds a little bit like Rav Soloveitchik said, when the Chachamim introduce a din derabbanan, the obligation to observe the din is only the Rabbanon. It's not the same as putting on tefillin and keeping Shabbos and Kashrus and so on, that the obligation, the Chovis HaGavra is there. I see here the Chovis HaGavra on a mitzvah of the Rabbanon is clearly only the Rabbanon. But nonetheless, the din that they formulated becomes a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh on the level of their Isa. That's what it sounds like. And when a person will learn the din the Rabbanon, it's not bitl Torah on the level of their Isa and Talmud Torah on the level of the Rabbanon. It sounds a little bit that it's really Talmud Torah on the level of the Raisa. When you learn Hilchas Chanukah, Hilchas Purim, on the level of the Raisa, you're just wasting time. It's only with the Rabbanan that you're learning. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, no, all the din of the Rabbanan become an intrinsic part of the Torah Shebal Peh on the level of the Raisa. One who learns it is in fulfillment of Talmud Torah Min HaTorah. So perhaps this is the reason for the Taz. The Chachamim cannot introduce a Gzeira Keneged Dovah HaMefurish B'Torah LaHaTorah, because then how can this blend in to become part of the Torah? It's an outright contradiction. In Chumash, it says that Chelev is mutter to do Schaira. Now, Chachamim make a prohibition, Chelev is also to do Schaira. So maybe that's the pshat in the Taz. Hayos that all the dinam derabbana become a Chelek of the Torah on a level of their Isa, so the Chachamim have no authority to make a Gzera derabbanan, Kenega Dabam Furish Bater. And other Rishonim say not so.
What about
case like not bringing lulav on first day of Sukkot or shofar on that? Right, so the Taz poses a question. He quotes from his father-in-law from the Bach. He quotes that's where he writes it. He writes it in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah also, and he writes it in Yerudeya, in the beginning of the second Chelik Yerudeya on this topic. So he quotes Akasha, why didn't the rabbis forbid tkiyah shofar on every Rosh Hashanah? Even Rosh Hashanah Chaliyas Bechol, after all, it's a form of mashmiya kol. The Gemara says in the end of Erevin, Mishnah, a whole sugi in the Gemara, that you're not permitted to play musical instrument. According to the way it says in the Ramah, let's say if you have a knocker that's attached to the door, miyuchad, even if you're not playing any music on the knocker, but it's a kli that's miyuchad lahashmas kol. So the Rama says you're not allowed to use that either. In Germany, that was a common practice. They used to use a knocker on Shabbos. On the weekdays, they rang the bell, and on Shabbos, they had a special Shabbos digger knocker. But the Rama says you're not allowed. Rama says the machlekes, okay. The Rama writes for the Jews and who live in the rest of the world outside of Germany that if it's a kli hamiyuchad lahashmas kol, even though it's not a niggin, it's not a musical sound, he's still not allowed. That's a machlekes in the end of Erevin. One opinion is you're not allowed to knock on the door on Shabbos. It's mashmiya kol. So the Yerushalmi tells a story that a fellow went for a walk, and when he came home on Friday night, he started screaming, "Let me in, let me in." They didn't hear him, and he wouldn't knock on the door because you're not allowed to knock on the door. It's mashmiya kol. Even though there is no kli hamiyuchad lahashmas, there's no nigin, and he's not using a kli hamiyuchad lahashmas kol. So the Yerushalmi says like that. The Babli quotes the first opinion. The Babli quotes one of the Chachmei HaYerushalmi who says like that, and then the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's not so. The Babli comes to the conclusion that it's mutter to knock on the door. It's mutter to knock on the door. The Vilna Gaon thinks we should pass like Yerushalmi, that it's also to knock on the door on Shabbos. Okay? But then Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter because there is no kli hamiyuchad lahashmas kol, just knocking with your fingers on the door, and there's no musical niggin. You just knock that they should hear. But if it's a kli hamiyuchad lahashmas kol, so that's the Taz quotes that kasha from the Bach. Why did the rabbis only forbid blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Exeris and Yaviranu, the concern someone's going to carry. They should have done away with kiyah shofar on every Rosh Hashanah, even when it's chaliyas b'chol, because it's a form of mashmiya kol. Shofar is a kli hamiyuchad lahashmas kol. It happens that years ago people used to blow shofar in the middle of a concert also. Today they have other artificial klezmer. But in the days of the Tanaim, he used to blow shofar as part of an orchestra. So the Taz quotes the Bach, who said, this is the Teretz. That in Chumash it says you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Chachamim have no authority to make a gzeir d'rabbanan to do away completely with kiyah shofar because of mashmiya kol. But it doesn't say explicitly that you blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's self-understood. Manishtana, what's the difference whether Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah falls out on a week, they dissolve malacha. So that, to prohibit kiyah shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that they have the ability to do. That's not explicitly against what it says in Chumash. But to do away with shofar mikom kol, that they didn't have the ability to do. Tosfos is of the opinion that a lulav, hadasim, and arabis are muktzah. It's about barav yafa. It's muktzah. It has no ishtamshus. The Chazanish says, what do you mean? It has a religious ishtamshus. Of course it's not muktzah. But Tosfos thinks apparently that a religious ishtamshus is not does make an interim muktzah. There's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. What about a ball? So the Mechaber writes that a ball that children play with, so the adults play ball also. So a ball, the Mechaber holds, is muktzah. It doesn't have a tzuras kli, it's muktzah. The Rama says it's not muktzah. Even though in Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah, it would not be Mekabal Tumah. It's not a kli, but again, to Kabbalah's Tumah purposes. But for Shabbos purposes, for muktzah, it is considered a kli. It's not considered like Eitzim Avonu Yofim. So the question is, what about the lulav, hadasim, and arabas? The esrig you can eat. So, but once you're going to use the esrig, then it becomes hooks in the miswasa, then you can't eat it. So then you should say the esrig is also muktzah. Yeah, the esrig should be muktzah because it's not oichal, because it's not royal achila, it's also bano. But the lulav, hadasim, and arabas. So Tosfos' shita is that lulav, hadasim, and arabas are muktzah. Chazanish disagrees with Tosfos. He thinks, how can it be muktzah? It's like a ball. Just like a ball is miyuchad to play with, so for Hilchas Muktzah purposes, it's called a kli. So the lulav hadasim arabas has a hishtamshus shal mitzvah. So that takes it out of the category of Eitzim Avayim Yafa that it should be muktzah. So according to Tosfos that it's muktzah, why didn't they forbid netilas lulav on Shabbos and Yom Tov period? Why only on Shabbos Shem Yavarenu? They should have done away with netilas lulav. Should only be mutter to shake a lulav on chalamoy, but there's no problem on muktzah. But on Shabbos and on Yontif should be also. The answer is, you can't prohibit Netilas Lulav on Yontif. The Pasuk says, Lakachta Lachem Yom Arishon. You can't forbid Adov HaMeforesh Bator LaHetera. That's what the Taz says. Other Rishonim disagree with the Taz. That's half of the Rishonim, half of the Taisus and Shas say like the Taz, and the other half say against the Taz. That's a Meforesh HaMachlokes in Rishonim.
Doesn't the Taz also attack the question of Mila on comes to the same sort of answer as Mila, because the church of the parish, Yom HaShmini, Hakilat Shabbos.
I think the Meiri and Megillah has like that, and some Achrenim say it based on the Taz. I don't know if the Taz himself says it. I know later Achrenim say it based on the Taz. That Taisus and Megillah, Dav Dalet, is bothered with the Kasha. Why didn't the Chachamim prohibit Mila Bizmano on Shabbos? If you have a Mila, it was just a bris here on Benin Avenue on Shabbos. So Taisus asked the Kasha, they should have prohibited performing a bris Mila on Shabbos. Gzerishem Yavirenu. Someone may carry the knife, and someone may carry the baby. Tosfos asks that kasha. So the Meiri quotes six terutzim on the kasha. So one of the terutzim that the Meiri quotes, Tosfos doesn't quote so many terutzim. Meiri collects all the six terutzim. So one of the terutzim that he gives is we have an extra pasuk in Parshas Tazria that says Vayom Hashmini Mo Bsar Alasai, and it doesn't teach me anything that I didn't learn already in Parshas Lech Lecha. So what could it possibly be teaching us? The Gemara has a tradition that that pasuk teaches us afilu b'Shabbos, that the bris milah has to take place on the eighth day, even if it turns out to be Shabbos. Some Rishonim consider that dava hamafurish b'Torah lehetera. That's why the Chacham had no right to make exer derabbanan to forbid bris milah on Shabbos. Exer shemi avirena. Maybe you'll carry the baby. Maybe you carry the knife. They can't do that. That's a dava hamafurish b'Torah lehetera. That's a question. Is that called Dava Mufurish Bater Lateira? It just says of Yom HaShmini Yom Bsar Los, it's Miyutar. The Pasuk is Miyutar, so we darshan that it comes to teach me that you're even permitted to be Michal Shabbos for the purpose of performing a Bismillah. But that's not really Dava Mufurish Bater. But some Rishonim and Achrayim say like that. The Miri quotes based on this idea of the Taz, and Achrayim refer to this Taz. They say this there, it's referring to the Taz. Yeah. See the Pischei Tshuva there in Yeridei, the beginning of the second Chelik Yeridei, quotes Achranim, want to say that the whole Isser of Schar B'machol HaSasuris is only an Isser D'Rabbanah. And the reason for the Isser D'Rabbanah was Gzeir Hashem B'Yochel Mimeno. If the fellow would be in a non-kosher store all day long selling non-kosher food, a person is in a store selling food, he always nibbles on some of the food. He's going to get hungry, he's going to have a lot of customers there, he's going to show him how tasty it is, he himself is going to start nibbling on it. So the whole... If one should assume that the whole prohibition is only the Rabbanon, then we can understand what the reason is. So then Achrenim say, what if I live in Borough Park? I live in Flatbush. And I have a non-kosher store in Texas, in Louisiana, and it's run by Nochrim. But I get the Rebach, because I put up all the money for the whole shop and all of the food products and so on. So would that be prohibited because of Schar B'machol HaSasur? So the Pischei Tshuva quotes on Achrayim, I want to say it's Mutter. If one should assume the whole this is only the Rabbanon, so this is the Rabbanon, this is Gzeir Hashem Yochel Emenu, so Gzeir Hashem Yochel on the Shayach, if he's nearby, if he's in a different continent, or is it? It's in Australia. The store is in a non-kosher city in Australia. Or the store is in a Goyish section in Newark, whatever. He's afraid to walk into Newark. He lives in Borough Park and Muncie, whatever, and he runs a store over there somewhere else. So how can you say Gzeir Hashem Yochel? He's nowhere near the non-kosher food. So the Achrayim want to say that if it's only Gzeir Rabbanan, and the reason we can probably understand on our own is because Gzeir Hashem Yochel. So if he's nowhere near the food, then Lecheret should be Mutter. Yeah, what else? The Rambam has another heter based on the Yerushalmi. If it's only Macholos Asuras de Rabbanan, that says Gvina Sakum or it's Cholav Akum or some kind of an Issa de Rabbanan, or Basa B'Cholav de Rabbanan. Basa B'Cholav de Rabbanan is not only Mutta Bar Noah, it's Mutta to do Schar, because the whole prohibition, the whole Macholos Asuras status that it has is only with the Rabbanan. So the Rambam writes like that if you have Macholos Asuras that are only awesome with the Rabbanan, it's Mutta to do Schar. So that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. This Damnu is Mutta, that's a Mishnah. And if it's not Letzarach Achila, that's the Yerushalmi. If it's Lemalach as opposed to Lachila, Yerushalmi is Heter. Then the Rambam is Heter by Chelev, it's Mutter. And by Macholos Asuras Rabban is also the Rambam based on the Yerushalmi. All of these Heterim are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So that's again, that's what they had to make a Sepik Zera. Asaladim Shigadal Chazerim. B'chol Mokan, nowhere. Not only in Eretz Yisrael, because it's going to slop up the country, it's going to look like a sloppy mess. And that's a violation of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, should look pretty. Even B'chutz Loretz, even in a section of the world where we're not interested in beautifying it, but to raise Chazerim is a separate Gzeira D'Rabbanan. That's how Tosfos explains over here. Yeah, we have a minhag that's mentioned in Hilchas Mila that the Friday night before the bris, we have a Shalom Zachar. Yeah, where is this mentioned in the Gemara? Is there any makas? So if you learn Perek HaBlezer the Mila, you would think Masech Shabbos, there are 24 prokim. So one of the prokim, the Mefarsh Man, the Mishnah is right, that Shabbos is like a kala, and in the days of Tanakh, a kala would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. Chof Tala Tachshitim. She would wear a ring on every finger and every toe, the stomach that's ready 20, and earrings and nose rings and hair and all kinds of things all over the place. So that's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he could have made Masech Shabbos into 30 prokim, like Masech Haskelim. He chose to make it into 24 prokim because Shabbos is a kala. We say boi chala, Shabbos is a kala of the Jewish people. That's a psalm medrash. The medrash says that Shabbos came to complain to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's a very strange medrash. Complained to the Rabbeinu Shalom that everything that he created in the world has a ben zug. Monday has a ben zug Tuesday. Wednesday has a ben zug. What is it? Sunday has a ben zug with Monday. And Tuesday has a ben zug with Wednesday. And Thursday has a ben zug with Friday. And Shabbos is left out, so there's no ben zug. Everything has a zoch and a keva. So the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Bnei Yisrael will be a ben zug. You'll marry the Jewish people. What does that mean? So some say that everything has a ben zug that you make tolodos, you give birth. People get married to have children. So the Jewish people marry Shabbos and we have Tosefes Shabbos. We give birth to babies. We make Tosefes Shabbos. What does it mean? And Sunday has a ben zug Monday. They have a lad. Well, what's Sunday and Monday? I don't know. They're only 48 hours. Sunday and Monday combined together, you don't make more than 48 hours. This has 24 hours, that has 24 hours. I don't know. It's such a medrash. I don't know. So we refer to Shabbos as the kala of the Jewish people. Not sure exactly what it means. So that's what the Malach HaShloima on the bottom of the regular Mishnah is, writes in the first Mishnah of Masech HaShabbos. Rabbeinu HaKadosh decided to make Masech HaShabbos. He quotes it from a Kabbalah. He quotes a lot of times Kabbalah ideas. Rabbeinu HaKadosh decided to make Masech HaShabbos 24 prokim. Mechuvin Keneged, the 24 tachshitim that it was, the practice was Bizman HaTanach to give 24 ornaments to the Kabbalah. Anyway, so this is all Perek and Masech HaShabbos, all about Bris Milah. So you would have thought that if you learn through Perek, Rav Lezer, the Mila, Masech Shabbos, you know all there is to know about the laws of Mila. So that's never correct. When you learn Bava Kamma, you still don't know everything there is to know about Nezikin. There's always something in Gittin about collecting Yidus Meitav in the middle of Hanizak and so on. So Bris Mila also, women performing Bris Mila, they had in the headlines in yesterday's newspaper, women were performing a Bris Mila, that's a Sugya Navod Zara. And that's not found in Masech HaShabbos. And this topic, this Shalom Zoch is also in Bava Kamma. On the bottom, Tosfos Daf Pei Amud Alef, the Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi all came to the Yeshua HaBein, to the Shavua HaBein. And one version is to the Yeshua HaBein. What Shavua HaBein means a week after the baby was born. That's the Bris Mila. Shavua HaBein. But according to the one version in the Gemara, that it's Yeshua HaBein. So what does it mean, Yeshua HaBen? So Rashi says it was a Pidyon HaBen, and the word Yeshua is the same as the word Pidyon. The word Yeshua, Yud Shin Vav, Ayin. Why should it be Pidyon the same as Yeshua? Very strange. So Tosfos says they don't, Tosfos quotes Rabbein Tam. He thinks that it goes on the Shalom Zachar. And the Shalom Zachar has nothing to do with the Pidyon HaBen. Shalom Zachar is because the Himli Ta Zachar. When a baby is born, the Pasuk in Yeshaya uses that expression. Anyway, that's in the Bir Agro of the Vilna Gaon and Shulchan Aruch, when the Ramah writes that there's a minhag that on Friday night before the Bris, everybody gathers together at the home of the baby, that's for the Shalom Zachar. So the Vilna Gaon says, look in this Tosfos. Tosfos claims that that's Pshat in the Gemara. So there is such a thing as a Shalom Zachar. Yeah. Question is it really a Sudas Mitzvah? Any Suda that you make in conjunction with a mitzvah all of a sudden becomes a Suda's mitzvah.
So already on Shabbos?
Yeah, Shabbos is already a Suda's mitzvah. Yeah, what is the Suda's mitzvah all about? Why should we consider the Shalom Zachar Suda's mitzvah? It's very questionable. So the Shach over there quotes from the Maharam, from which Maharam? I forgot. Well, it's one of the earlier Achrayim that the Agadah says in Maseches Nida, Daf Lamed Aleph, so when the baby is inside the mother's womb, So the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula. Then as the baby is about to be born, Malach slaps the baby, should forget Kol HaTorah Kula. Forgetting the whole Torah, so the baby is in mourning over the loss of his brains, over the loss of the Kol HaTorah Kula that he just learned. So just like when a person is in mourning over the death of a relative, the people have to give him a Sudas Avroah. The first Sudas that he eats on the first day is supposed to be Mishal Acher, not supposed to eat from his own. So that's the Sudas Avroah that they give. So too, by the Shalom Zachar, we give a Sudas Avroah to the baby. That's how the Shach quotes. Yeah, so then it only makes sense to make a Shalom Zachar if the baby's there. Sometimes the baby's in the hospital. So what are you making a Sudas Avroah here? You have to make the Sudas Avroah where the oval is. What do you mean? We sit and we eat and we drink. We don't give anything to the baby. So Sudas Avroah is supposed to give to the baby. But that's the reason why they give chickpeas. That's the reason why they give the... Many Lithuanians have the custom that they give arpis on a hit, whatever you call it, because Maman is in Avelus, so the minig is that you give something round, because Avelus is referred to as a Galgal HaChazboil. Everyone at some time or another is going to have to observe Avelus. My cousin, Rabbi Aaron Levine, tells me that he once got a phone call. He says he's a rabbi in a shul in Flatbush, and he gets phone calls a lot of times from people he doesn't know who they are. He asks Mishalas, and he answers, and he hangs up. So he says once on Chalamat Pesach, he got a phone call that they have to prepare a Sudas Avroah, what he's supposed to give. So he wasn't thinking that it's Chalamat Pesach. So he said, the minig is that you give round bagels. Everything around, you give round bagels and whatever. And he told them, no, hard-boiled eggs, whatever, round things. And then he hung up. Then he realized, what did I tell them, round bagels? They're going to go look for bagels on Chalamat Pesach. And he didn't know who it was. He couldn't even call them back to tell them that it doesn't apply. You know, if you get round matzahs on Pesach, but... Anyway, so some have such a custom that you give arbis, you give chickpeas and a shalom zacha, because that's usually given in the Sudas Avraham. So Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Kenny Brander is fond of telling over that Rav Soloveitchik attended his wedding, and the Rav is already old and weak. So at the wedding he blessed them that they should have a family, they should have children. When you have the shalom zacha, don't give any arbis. At the wedding, he said, when you have the Shalom Zacha, no harvest. So he says, they had a baby boy, the first child's baby boy. And his mother came, she cooked a whole ton of harvest, 25 pounds of harvest. And then when she came to his home, so she said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, no harvest, that it's not a Sudas Avroah. He didn't like that reason. So the Taz gives a different reason there. The Taz gives the reason based on the Zohar. The Zohar says that just like there's a din in Chumash, the Zohar puts together the two din. There's a din of chumash when a shor kesev eski yivali yehoya shivasiyam tafasimo miyam shmini bahali yivatsu the karbidi shal Hashem. That you can't be makri of a behema until the eighth day, and you can't be mal the baby until the eighth day. So the Zohar assumes that being mal the baby is some form of hakrovas hakorban. And the sandik is considered as if he were, his lap is considered as if it were a mizbeach, because you sprinkle the dam on a mizbeach, so you do the hatofas hadam on the baby while he's on the sandik's lap. I was a sandik this morning at a bris. So in Shulchan Aruch, the minig is that when there's a bris, and nobody says tachna, but in the afternoon when you daven mincha, the sandik doesn't say tachna, everybody else says tachna. I don't say tachna. So the Taz quotes this from the Zohar, that just like this, then you have to wait till the eighth day to be makriv the korban. So you have to wait till the eighth day to be mala baby, because being mala baby, the hatofas hatam, is like zrikas hatam agabi hamizbeach. And then the Zohar explains that what is that all about, waiting till the eighth day? Because the baby and the animal, the baby is like the animal, the baby and the animal have to experience the kedusha sayoyim of Leil Shabbos. There's a different kedusha Leil Shabbos and a different kedusha Yom Shabbos. Different b'china. Leil Shabbos is b'chinas malchus, that's why we say v'yanuchu va. Yom HaShabbos is b'p'chinas yisoyt, so you say v'yanuchu vo. That's why Yishishi is the best Ali on Shabbos morning, because yisoyt is the sixth of the spheres. So the Zohar says that the behema, in order to be roi l'hakrova, has to experience a Friday night. So if you always say you have to wait till the eighth day in the morning, you will always know for sure that the animal has experienced a Friday night. You could have just as well said, just wait till Friday night passes by. So the Zohar says, no, the Torah made a din, you always have to wait till the eighth day in the morning. So in case the behema was born Okay, so the baby was born on Shabbos in the daytime, so it didn't yet experience Leil Shabbos. They have to wait till the eighth day in the morning comes, so the animal or the baby has experienced Dusha Sayyama of Leil Shabbos, then it's Reil HaKrov. So the Taz says, based on the Zohar, that since it's the experience that the baby has of Leil Shabbos that enables it to be Roy le Mila, so that's why the Avi Aben throws a party. His baby just became Roy le Mila. That's what the Taz says. Based on Kabbalah, based on the Zohar's reasoning. Rav Soloveitchik used to give up a very down-to-earth reason. He used to try to give down-to-earth, like Rav Bianca Kamenetsky also used to give very down-to-earth reasons for some of the strange minhagim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought it's based on a different Gemara Masechah Shabbos, also in Perek HaBlezer de Milo, or it's rather the daf before HaBlezer de Milo. HaBlezer de Milo starts on daf Kuf Lamin. So on daf Kuf Chav Tes, daf right before the beginning of HaBlezer de Milo, the Gemara has the Dinim that Tesis quotes part of it here, that the Oledes has the status of a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana here on the bottom Tesis on Pei Amid Beis. So Tesis quotes Perek Mefanim Shabbos Kuf Chav Tes Amid Aleph. That's the daf right before Kuf Lamed. Kuf Chav Tes always comes before daf Kuf Lamed. Yes. Enormous sichtes that go so far. So Kuf Chav Tes comes right before Kuf Lamed. So the Gemara says there that the Yoledes has the status of a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana the first 7 days. So whatever she needs, if she thinks that she needs it very much, so you have to, even if need be, you have to be Mechal Shabbos even on day Yisroel. If you can get a Nochri to do the Chil Shabbos, it's better. But if you can't get a Nochri, you have to have Yisroel. So the Rambam writes, V'dova Zeh, whenever somebody has to be Mechal Shabbos on behalf of a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, so the Rambam quotes the Gemara, you should not be done by Ketanim or by Noshim or by Nochrim, because you're showing as if it's not really right to be Mechal Shabbos. We'll have Nochrim do it. We'll have the children do it. The Gemara says it has to be done al yidei gedolim. Al yidei gedolim. So what do you mean gedolim? So pasha pshat is adults who have passed bar mitzvah, as opposed to ketanim. Ketanim means children before bar mitzvah, and gedolim means adults who have passed bar mitzvah. One should not shy away from being Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of a chodesh yesh b'sakana, because then people are going to think, if there's no cotton, so you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. So the Rambam says, Ela de Gedoli Yisrael b'chachamehu. Gedoli Yisrael b'chachamehu. So the Rambam understands Gedoli means Talmid HaChachamim Gedoli. Gedoli Torah doesn't mean Gedoli adults passed by mitzvah. The Rambam has this unique pshat. Why the same idea, the same pshat in Gemara? That lest that people will think that it's not really right to me Mechal Shabbos, only a sheketz would do that. Only a non-religious Jew would do that. No, the Rabbanim have to show. The Rabbanim have to be the first ones to run to be Mechal Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik said that was probably the meaning in Europe when there would be a Yoledes. The rabbi would walk to the home of the Yoledes on Friday night and ask if she needs any Chil Shabbos, that he'll cook the water and he'll do the Chil Shabbos on her behalf. Because the rabbi is the Gedol Yisrael, Chachameh. So the rabbi used to walk to the home of the Oledes, and the stomach he had, the Rosh HaKol walked with him, and the Gavoyim walked with him, and the Dayan walked with him, and the Memele, since they had all the Chashuvim, were going to visit the Oledes, all the Balabatim went along also. But the main, so if the rabbi came, so they gave him something to eat, but the rabbi's going to come and not going to give him a bite. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's perhaps how it started, that the Shalom Zachar is not so much Sudas Avro for the baby, like the Shach quotes, and not so much a party that the father is celebrating that his baby is now Roy the Mitzvah Smila, but rather it's a kibbutz for the rabbi, that the Rosh HaKol would come with the rabbi to see if the Oledes needs Chil Shabbos. The question is, sometimes the Oledes is in the hospital. So also it doesn't make sense to have a Shalom Zoch if the Oledes is not there. The baby's not there, the Oledes is not there, just the father is there. All right, so at least you have the reason of the Taz. The father is celebrating that his baby is not Roy le Bris Mila. Sometimes the grandparents may. I remember we were in Tannisville, so the grandparents threw a Shalom Zohar because their children in Ranana had a baby boy. So everybody went to entertain the grandparents on Friday night. What did it have to do with anything? The Oledes wasn't there, the baby wasn't there, the Aviyat Ben wasn't there. The grandfather's not Mechuyif to do the Bris Mila. So what is he celebrating? that his grandchild is Roy his grandchild is Roy Lebris Milo. Anyway, this is the one and only Mokam Shas for the Shalom Zof. It's bottom Tosis on Daf Pei Omer Aleph. The Gemara tells all story that Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi, they came to Shalom Zachar. They were pilfering who's going to go first. And by the time they were pilfering, the baby got hurt by an animal.
Anyone has heard that one of the reasons given for Shalom Zachar was to make sure that there's always people in the house to protect the baby instead of being
bed
and
the cat. Oh,
yeah? So if there's a party going on, there's always people coming and going, and people's spirits will stay away.
Okay, good. Okay, whatever the reason is, there is such an old minute.
Rabbi Campbell said that it's now either comforting or congratulating the father that he has a king Talmudora.
Different reason. The father now has a new mitzvah to teach his son Torah. Could be, I don't know.
It's the grandparents too.
What?
It's the grandparents also.
The grandparents also have a chiyuv. Okay. Could well be. So yesterday we discussed a little bit the Asar Tamayim Hisnei Yeshua. That's on the bottom line on that Pei Amid Beis, going over to Pei Aleph and Aleph here. What else? Rashi mentions something over here. That sometimes when you have a major Eis Tzorah, you blow Chatzaitzvahs. Rashi and Tosfos talk about Shofar. But the Gemara in Taina says the Ikar Mitzvah really is Kiyas Chatzaitzvahs. That's the Pasuk of Chumash. Yisav HaMuchamam Be'artzachem Ala Tzara Tzara Esma Har Yosem HaChatzaitzvahs. That's one of the Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah. It's only if it's a Tzoras HaTzibur. Let's say a person has a problem with Parnasa, a person has a problem, he can't have any children, or he has a problem finding a Shidduch, or whatever. So a person has personal, private problems, he's going to start blowing Chatzetzus all over the place. It's only Kisavu Muhammad B'Yartzuchen, if it's a Tzoras HaTzibur. Tzoras HaTzibur. And some Rishonim say only the Artzuchen in Eretz Yisrael. If you have the Jews in Chutz L'Arts have a problem, that's considered Yechidim. So you don't have the mitzvah of Tkiyas Chatzaitzus. The mitzvah only applies if you have a Tzoras HaTzibur in Eretz Yisrael. So sometimes they would blow Chatzaitzus on a tiny Tzibur, when there would be goes a tinyus because of Atziris Kshamin, there was no rain. That's a Tzoras HaTzibur. So that's a special mitzvah to blow Chatzaitzus. Yeah. The Shaz, how come we don't do it Bizman HaZeh? So most of the periods in history, the Jews lived in Chutz L'Arts. Jews lived in Chutz L'Arts, and the mitzvah doesn't apply. Only Ksavim Chomim B'Yartzachem in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. But what now? The Jews do live in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes there's a Melchama B'Eretz Yisrael, Achmana Letzlan. So how come they don't blow Chatzaitzus? How come no one blows any Chatzaitzus? The Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in his first Chelik, Igros Moshe, Chelik Arachayim, where he talks about this. He quotes the Magen Mishnah, writes on the side of the Rambam that the mitzvah to blow chatzaitzus can only be fulfilled, the mitzvah deraisa can only be fulfilled if you're blowing the chatzaitzus shal mikdash. If you have separate chatzaitzus, not chatzaitzus of the Beis HaMikdash, then there's no mitzvah to blow. So that's apparently what people rely on. Not all the Rishonim agree to that. Many Rishonim hold that the mitzvah to kiyas chatzaitzus is not. In the Mishnah, it would appear. Well, Chatzaitzus all over Eretz Yisrael, not only in the Beis HaMikdash. It's problematic. Anyway, here the Gemara has an expression, sometimes as an Eis Tzara, so Masriyin. What do you mean Masriyin? So Tosfos quotes the Gemara that the Amoraim say the word Masriyin that appears in the Mishnah is sometimes refers to blowing Chatzaitzus, and sometimes refers to Tfilo. The Hasriya B'Tfilo, the Hasriya B'Kol. On Shabbos, Tosfos quotes the Mishnah, you're not allowed to blow Chatzaitzus if there's an Eis Tzara on Shabbos. On Shabbos, Masriyin clearly means only B'kol. You cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Then Rabbi Dr. Liam spoke about Meis Mitzvah Kana Mekomo. That's one of the Eser Takonos of Yeshua. What does it mean, Meis Mitzvah Kana Mekomo? So Achreidim have an expression. They use this as a melitza. One of the Achreidim writes, I think Rav Shlomo Klug always writes like this, in his Ha'oris on Shulchan Aruch that are printed on the side of the page. He writes a certain shaila. He writes, I wrote a tshuva on this, Kana Mekomo. This tshuva appears in my Sefer, Chelek Aben Ezer, Simen Peyal. So he uses the expression, Kana Mekomo, it appears in such a location. So you're just giving a marmok. So one could understand Dr. Lehm gave two suggestions. Karabakoma means that the mace, the dead body, is kind of the mokam. Dead people have an ownership. What kind of a lashon is that? So Pashup Shat means doesn't mean it's kind of a koma. It just means the guy dropped dead in the middle of my field. So if we know who he is, so we bury him and we tell his family, go bury the man. It's your responsibility to bury him. If we don't know who he is, then mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah means you don't know who he is. So that's a din midrabbanan, hefker bez nehefker. I have to let the Chevek Kaddisha bury him in the middle of my field, even though it's going to be very inconvenient for me. Now I can only plow up until I have to keep on going around this kever over here. So that's the din karna makomo. So Pashup Shat does not to be taken literally karna makomo. It just means it's a hefker bez nehefker. They took away my rights from me, and they said I have to allow the Chevek Kaddisha to bury this meitz mitzvah in this spot. There is a big mitzvah to bury a meis mitzvah that Dr. Lamb pointed out. Even a nozer and a kohen gadol who are not permitted even to be mitamit to design kravim are obligated to be mitamit to a meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah is an issue of kavod abrius. That's Rav Soloveitchik used to. That was one of his recurring themes. Who is this meis mitzvah that no one knows who in the world he is? If it'll be a prominent figure, a rabbi or a professor or a politician, everybody would know. You look at the guy's face, you would know who he is. He's some bum, a shikara bum, a Jewish shikara bum. No one knows who in the world he is. And the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir have to be metame for him. They're not metame for their own seven relatives. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik had this theme that he would repeat. In our religion, we give every human being dignity. Everyone deserves kovod because of the fact that they're created with Tzelem Elokim, even if he's not the great person. Even if he, during his lifetime, we don't think that he ever accomplished anything, he's a nobody, no one knows who in the world the guy is, still, he has such a great chashivas, every human being deserves kovod abris. So there is a big mitzvah to bury the meis mitzvah, to take care of the kvura when no one else is taking care. The Sefer Hasidim writes that sometimes there are mitzvahs, Dr. Lehm spoke about this also a little bit, sometimes there are mitzvahs that no one is doing. Sometimes there are gemaras that no one's ever learning. So he says, Perik Elu Megalchen, about the laws of Avelas, so people usually stay away from that. So the Sefer Hasidim says, that Perik has the status of a meis mitzvah, so it's a bigger mitzvah to learn Hilchas Avelas. Because Nebuchadnezzar, that Perik is crying, no one's learning me. Everybody's neglecting it. Then he writes to study, I think he writes to study Zvachim and Menachas. He writes, it's very neglected. No one is interested in learning Kachim. Today there are people who only learn Kachim, they don't know Noshim and Dedikim. But in the days of the Rishonim, many would neglect the Kachim. So he says, it's a special mitzvah. That's a meis mitzvah. A mitzvah that no one's taking care of. So it's a mitzvah to be metapel on that mitzvah. Okay. So what does it mean, kana makom? So the simple pshat, you should say, it's not to be taken literally. It's not kana. What do you mean? A dead person doesn't have any ownership. As soon as the fellow dies, he loses all of his ownership. All of a sudden, it's kind of this Dalar Amas that he should be buried here. But you have a funny idea. Rishonim have such an idea from the Gaonim. The Gemara has, the Mishnah has an institution of Kinyan Agav. I can be mocked the Metaltalim Agav Karka. So the Gemara says in Cheskes Sabbat, that's only be the Islay. If he has Karka, it can be mocked in the Metaltalim Agav Karka. What if it's Yodua de Leislay? We know that the man has no karka, so he can't make any kinyan aga. There's nothing to discuss. So the Rishonim say on that Gemara that the Gaonim, the Rambam quotes this, and other Rishonim quoted on that Gemara in Cheskes Habatim. The Gaonim write that everybody can make a kinyan agav dalaramas. Which dalaramas? Who says that he has dalaramas? So the different Gaonim gave different explanations to what this is all about. But the Gemara says, Ach maskin but leislay. If the man doesn't have any karka, so he cannot make a kinyan agav. The Gaonim say, everybody, every Jew in the world can make a kinyan agav. So some Rishonim said, because everybody has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Every Jew has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. How do you have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? The Turks had Eretz Yisrael. The British had. They stole it. The Jews never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael for the days of Avraham Avinu. We never lost our ownership. And every Jew is a descendant, unless you're a geir. The Rambam says like that. How do you know that you're not a ger? If you're a kohen, you also don't have it. Kohen or a levi, maybe you have in the memches or halvin. Okay. If you're a levi, you have in the memches or halvin. If you're a kohen, then you have no share in Eretz Yisrael. You're a ger. If you're a descendant from Gerim. So how can you say you get a Yerusha, something in Eretz Yisrael? You're not going to get anything. So that's the Rambam quotes that version of the Goyim. The Goyim held that every person has a share in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rambam writes Dvarim Klushim or Ruhuim Heim Shvacha Maisis doesn't make any sense. Mi Yoimar Sheyesh Lo Chelik means maybe he's a descendant from Gerim. Maybe he doesn't have. And then the Rambam says, and even if he does have, it's Ainu B'Shusay. That's the question. What does it mean, it's Ainu B'Shusay? What does the Rambam mean that it's Ainu B'Shusay? It means that it's Pasha Pshat means that since it's under the control of the Arabs, under the control of the Turks, you'll never be able to get it from them. So even though it's Shalom, but if it's Ainu B'Shusay, say Ainu Makta Dovish Ainu B'Shusay. We learned at the beginning of the Perek, Machlek Sabi Echonim Ishlokish, and the halach is like Rabbi Yechonon, that in order to have the ability to be makni, you have to have shaloi ubir shusoi. So the Rambam sounds like he's saying, and that he says, mi omar sheyesh lo chelik b'eretz zom. Maybe he's a descendant from Gerim, because the Mishnah says, afilu yesh lo, even if he knows for sure that he is a descendant from one of the Shvatim, but the Rambam tain is ainu b'shusoi. What does it mean ainu b'shusoi? Pashta says that he can't get to it, but the problem is, the Gemara says, ainu b'shusoi only applies to metalkalim. The karka is always b'shusoi. Karka ain't an exelus. That's the Gemara by Masuso, about Mitzir Dav Zayin. The karka is never considered ainu b'shusa. So how does the Rambam say that even if you're a descendant from one of the Shvatim and you have a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael and it's shaloi, but it's ainu b'shusa? Why? Because it's tachas yad hagazlonim, tachas yad ha'umais. That makes it ainu b'shusa. Right? But it's not karka ain't an exelus. It should be shaloi b'shusa. Soloveitchik interpreted that line. He said his father interpreted that line in the Rambam that it's Ainu B'Shusay. Sometimes the Gemara used the Loshen Ainu B'Shusay means really Ainu Shaloi. It doesn't mean Ainu B'Shusay. So he said his father said that what it means is that it's Ainu Shaloi. What do you mean Ainu Shaloi? But Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. So he said, Eretz Yisrael, this is the next Gemara we didn't get to yet. Yerushalayim lo nischal kal shvatim. So the Gemara says, all of Eretzel belongs to Klal Yisrael. Then in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they made a chalukah l'shvatim, and then within every shevet they made a chalukah l'yechidim, and everybody owned his house, his field. Everybody had a private ownership except for Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was never in his chalukah l'shvatim. The shvatim never, half of Yerushalayim wasn't shiftei shel Yehuda, half was shiftei shel Binyamin. The Mizbeach had to be built b'chelka shel Binyamin. And the government had to be b'chel kashal Yehuda. So Yerushalayim had a chelik of Yehuda, a chelik of Yomim. So the art, we paskin like that, Shita, Machlek, Zabir, and Achachamim, and the next stop in Meruga, we paskin that in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they made the Chalukah, Yerushalayim is never in the Schalk of the Shvatim, because they knew from day number one, you're going to build the base on Migdash, and Yerushalayim has to be on Makam, Ashiyiv Chashem, Yikol Shivtech, has to belong to all the Shvatim. So this was good up until the Churban Bayis Rishon. So individual people had individual private ownership on their lots. This house belonged to me, that farm belonged to him. Each person, it was kolecha v'yecha makar eschelko. Ish tachas gafna v'tachas einosai. And the Rambam quotes a lashon from the Sifra, from the Torah's Kanim, kolecha v'yecha makar eschelko. On the occasion of the Churban, Bayis Rishon, when the Babylonian armies chased the Jews out, so there's a principle of kibish mochama. Kibish mochama, the Gemara has a whole sugya in Gittin, round off in the Lamed Tesa song. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, when one nation wages war against another nation, so the country that wins acquires ownership of everything, the country loses, the war loses their ownership. So all of the individuals lost their ownership, their private ownership of the homes and the farms that they had. But the Goyim who conquered the winning nation, namely the Babylonian armies, did not acquire ownership, because Klal Yisrael never lost their ownership. All of Eretz Yisrael had the status like Yerushalayim. Just like Yerushalayim was never in Schalk of the Shvatim, it never had private ownership. It belonged all along from the days of Avraham Avinu through the whole period of the Bayis Rishon. Belonged to Hamakam Shiv Hashem, Nikol Shiv Techa, belonged to everybody. So at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban HaMedina, so the Kibush Muhammad accomplished only one step, not both. Usually it accomplishes that the one who lives there loses his ownership, and the winning army acquires ownership. Here, the individual who lived there lost his individual ownership, but Klal Yisrael never lost their ownership. That's why the Rabbanu Shlom made a bris with Avraham and with Yitzchak when Yankif on Eretz Yisrael. What's the meaning of a bris? What did he make a shvua? A bris means a shvua. What did he have to make a shvua and a bris? He gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. Fartik, he gave it already. The answer is, if he only gave it to Avraham Avinu, if he would have a Kibbush Muhammad, Avraham Avinu or his descendants would lose their ownership. So the Baruch Shalom made a bris and he made a shvuah that the Jewish people will never lose their ownership. So the individual people lost their ownership, but the Klal Yisrael never lost. So all of Eretz Yisrael belonged to Klal Yisrael, like Yerushalayim was Lenis Chal Kodeshvot. Then in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, we do not find in Tanakh, that's what the Beis HaLevi quotes Reb Chaim, we do not find in Tanakh that they made a Chaluk HaLeshvotim or a Chaluk HaLeYichidim. So who owned Eretz Yisrael? So Rab Moshe Soloveitchik added on, Reb Chaim doesn't answer the question, who owned Eretz Yisrael? So Rab Moshe Soloveitchik said, it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael like Yerushalayim. All of Eretz Yisrael before Yeshua ben Nun made the Chalukah was called Shivtechen. It was a Tfusas HaBayis of everybody. Belonged to all the Shvatim together. So in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period, they never made a Chalukah L'Shvatim. They never made a Chalukah at all. So everything belonged to everybody. And after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the same thing. Everything belonged to everybody. Not only Yerushalayim L'Nes Chalukah L'Shvatim, the whole Eretz Yisrael was L'Nes Chalukah L'Shvatim. That's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said. That's why he was opposed to the Het Mechira. The Shemitah. He said, Mechiras Eretz Yisrael, it's not for sale. We have a din of chumash about an individual person selling karka, selling metaltel. You don't have a concept of Klal Yisrael selling Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael can't sell Eretz Yisrael. There's no pasuk in the chumash that gives them the ability. There is no such thing. Klal Yisrael can't sell. So that was his opposition. That's totally from outer space. That's a totally different argument. He says, during the whole period of the Bai Sheni, no one could charge rent anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Yerushalayim, you can't charge any rent if someone wants to sleep in your home, because Yerushalayim non is chalka l'shvatim, it's not your private ownership. So you have no right to charge any rent. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, the whole Kufas Bai Sheni, Ara Yoyim Hazeh, since there never was a chalukah l'shvatim, and never was a chalukah l'yichidim, so all of Eretz Yisrael had the status of Yerushalayim, so you can't charge rent anywhere. How can it be?
The hotels.
No one has, huh?
The hotels can't charge.
Hotels can't charge, yeah. The hotels can't charge anywhere. I remember I was once speaking in Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to build a hotel in Yerushalayim, they want to eat Korban Pesach, so they can't eat on the upper floors. The Gemara says in Pesachim Gagam Aliyas Lenis Kachu, on top of the roof and the upper floors, you have to eat the Korban Pesach on the ground floor. So after me, Rav Simcha Cook spoke. So he said, with all due respect to Rabbi Shech, he wants to correct him a little bit. They never built any hotels in Yerushalayim. You only build a hotel if you can charge, if you can make money. The Gemara says you can't charge any rent in Yerushalayim. So which tippish is going to build a hotel? He's going to lose his pits. You can't build. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik says you can't charge rent anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Can't build any hotels anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. How can that be? That's what he says. So he interprets that when the Rambam quotes the Goyim, that everybody has Dal Ramas in Eretz Yisrael, and he says, Dvar Meilu Ruhuyim, the Klushim Miyot Shvach, very Shvach Avart, he says, first of all, Miyom Hashiyeshlo Yerusha, maybe the fellow is a Ger, that's what the Kes Mishnah says. How does anybody know? Maybe he's a Ger, unless he's a Levi. If he's a Kohen, he doesn't have a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. The Levim had a Chelik in Ari Alvim. The Kohanim didn't have a Chelik. Maybe he's a ger, doesn't have. And then the Rambam says, and even if yeshlo, he says it's ain't a b'shusa. So what do you mean any b'shusa? The Achrayim ask, how can it be any b'shusa? But karka ain't exels. It's always b'shusa. So Moshe Soloveitchik interpreted the Rambam. It does mean any b'shusa means from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, all of Eretz Yisrael is ain't a shaloi. There's no private individual ownership. There's only the ownership of all of Klal Yisrael. So how can anybody make any kinyanaga? Even if the guy has a field in Eretz Yisrael, he can't make a kinyanaga. No one can make a kinyanaga. It's wild the way he said. Very difficult. Anyway, this is one version of the Goyim's practice, that anybody and everybody can always make a kinyanaga. Agav dalaramas sheishli beretz Yisrael. Kol odim yeshla dalaramas beretz Yisrael. So the Rambam is not happy about that. Then other Rishonim quoted from the Goyim a different version. How come everybody can be makna agav dalan amas na etzol? Everybody's going to die. No one lives forever. Whenever you die, yes, meis mitzvah is kana makomo. So that dalan amas that every person has, so that it can be makna agav.
But you could
in chutz l'aretz too. Yeah, meis mitzvah kana makomo is even a chutz l'aretz.
Right.
No, it's not Agav Dalaram, it's two different Hezberim. The first Hezbollah that some of the Goyim had was that Kol Adam Yesh Lo Dal Anam is Beretz Yisrael. But that's the version that the Rambam quoted, and he doesn't like that. He says, first of all, Miyoy Meshi Yesh Lo. Maybe he's a descendant from Gerim. And I feel a Yesh Lo, it's ain't a Bishusa, whatever that line means. But other Rishonim quote a different version of what the Goyim said. In Gittin Daf Yud Gimel, the Ran quotes it, and in Cheskes HaBatim, and in the Mukiyesi quotes it. Other Rishonim quote it. They say a different word. Ameis Mitzvah Kanam Kanam. Everyone's going to die, and it's going to turn out that you're going to be buried somewhere. So everyone owns the Dalai Lamas. Yeah. They all tie against the Gaonim. If everybody can make a Kenyan Agav, because every person has Yesh Lo Dalai Lamas Beretz Yisrael, every person is going to have Dalai Lamas for Kfura, so you can only, it's only one to a customer. So once you sold the Dalai Lamas, right. So goodbye Charlie. You can't make a second Kenyan Agav. Very strange. He just sold his whole Chelek and Eretz Yisrael. He sold the whole Dalai Lamas for the Meis Mitzvah story. So this is what other Rishonim say. Everyone's going to die. When he's going to die, he's going to be a Meis Mitzvah kind of a come. So what do they mean? Everyone is going to die, but I have identification in my pocket. They're going to know who I am. They're not going to bury me. That's not a Meis Mitzvah. If they know who you are, you're not a Meis Mitzvah. Very strange. What are they talking about? And the Meis Mitzvah, they took it literally. Meis Mitzvah kind of a combo. I was laughing in my heart when Dr. Leah was talking. What's he talking? He took it literally. Meis Mitzvah kanam kanam. Then I realized the Goyim say like that. What are they talking about? Loyal Dr. Lam Tulanasi. Allah Goyim. What are the Goyim talking about? They say Meis Mitzvah kanam kanam is kanam while he's alive. That's what Dr. Lam meant. How can it be? A Meis doesn't have any ownership. The minute the guy dies, it goes to be Rusha to the children. So what do you mean? After he dies, a Meis Mitzvah, then he's kanam kanam. A Meis can't have any kinyan. What do the words mean in the Gemara? I thought it's a melitza, it doesn't mean anything. But the Goyim took it literally, because the Gemara has an expression in Yesh Nechle. The Gemara quotes Pesukim from Shoftim that people died and they were buried in their area. So the Gemara says, Nimtza tzadik kova bekevesh eda shaloi. The Gemara talks about they bury a person, then that area goes birusha to a different shevet. So it's going to come out that a person is buried in a cemetery plot that doesn't belong to him. What do you mean? Whenever a person dies, it doesn't belong to him. It means it didn't even belong to him before he died. That's what it means. So the Gemara talks about the hashivas that the karka should belong to you. The karka that you buried in should have belonged to you before you died. And it shouldn't leave the ownership of it. After he dies, it doesn't belong to him anymore. Meis doesn't have any ownership. That means it should go in the family. That karka that one is buried in should go be Yerusha in the family. So the Gemara has such a lashon that Meis Mitzvah Kana Mekoma, we consider it as if he was the owner of this Dalai Lamas all along. Yeah, but it's still a pillar. How can a prominent figure? I don't think I'll ever be a Meis Mitzvah. Everybody in the world knows me, no? I'll die in Afghanistan, don't know me, no? How can it be? I have identification in my pocket. They'll know who I am. So it's still unclear what they're going and meant over here. But there are two different versions of what they, how they said that. They call Adam Yesh Lo Dalai Lamas. Either call Adam Yesh Lo Dalai Lamas, Birusha Beretz Yisrael. Or Kol Adam has the Dalai Lamas of Meis Mitzvah Kana Mekoma. So that's what Rishonim mean. What do I mean? Everyone's going to be a Meis Mitzvah? Most people are not going to be. 99% of the people are not going to be Meis Mitzvah. Less than 1% are going to be Meis Mitzvah. The potential could be, since there is such a theoretical possibility. So how can I be Machne, Metaltalim, Agav, the Dalai Lamas that may turn out that I don't have? That's the problem.
Does the Rambam maybe mean that? But if you don't know you have, where it is, you can't point to it. So what does it mean it's yours? In the stomach is regular kaka. Whatever it is, anything zealous. I have, somebody tells me you have
kaka. I don't know where it is.
Well, I don't know nothing about it. It could be in jungles in Africa,
So
does that mean you have
kaka? He has kaka, the Nemuki Yosef and Cheskes HaBatim on the side of the rift raises an issue of bravery. I'm making a Kenyan Agav Dalai Lamas, but we're not sure where the Dalai Lamas are, in the African jungles, or in the Negev, or in the Golan, or in Evrayag. We're not sure exactly where it is, but I own karka somewhere. So he says, if you're making a Haknoah of Metaltalim Agav Karka, Yeah, you think it's a din d'oraisa, so in din d'oraisa say yeah, brera. So he raises the question, is that or is that not? Is that a violation of brera? He's being makne karka, dalarams of karka, but he doesn't know where the karka is, but he knows that it's there somewhere. So the Nemukiyasi raises the question of, in the Rana and Gitna, and Afyud Yimov also raised that question. Is that an issue of brera? There is a Gemara in the end of Menachos. Reb Shimon Shkop published when Reb Shimon Shkop was 70 years old, so the Talmidim made a whole celebration. He started giving shurim at the age of 20. His uncle was Reb Lezer Telza. His uncle had the Telza Yeshiva, so he invited him to give shir in the Telza Yeshiva. So he made a big hit, and from the age of 20 till the age of 70, he was a magid shir for 50 years. So when that was a yovel, 50 years a yovel. So when he reached the age of 70, the students put out a Sefer HaYovel in honor of his 70th birthday, in honor of his 50th anniversary of being a Magid Shir. So all the students, he had students from the early years and from the late years, 50 years worth of students. So all the students wrote Divrei HaRocha while the Rebbe was alive. They wrote Hespedim while the Rebbe was alive. And they printed it all. And Reb Shimon Shkop knew about it, that they're going to print it. So he gave a kuntris also, Mareches HaKinyonim. So it's a long kuntris. Now, in recent years, they reprinted the whole Sefer HaYovel. So it has from Rabbi Unterman, and it has my father-in-law was close to Reb Shimon Shkop. He wrote, everybody and your uncle, all the Talmidim wrote that how exciting it was to sit in Reb Shimon Shkop's shir, and how interesting everything was. A different style, had a whole totally different style of learning. Many didn't like his style. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik thought that his style of learning was apikursis, because it was all chakiris. Reb Chaim didn't go for his philosophical chakiris. Chaim said, you got to stick to what it says in the Gemara, no chakiris. But Reb Shimon had this unique style. So Reb Shimon Shkop's Mareches HaKinyonim that he wrote specially, that was printed, that was reprinted many times. Those that didn't have the Sefer HaYovel, so that was reprinted. Now the whole Sefer HaYovel was reprinted. So you can either get Mareches HaKinyonim alone, you can get the whole Sefer HaYovel. So the Mareches HaKinyonim starts off with this kasha. There is a Gemara in the end of Menachos that the Rishonim is. Shuvos HaRashbo. The Gemara in the end of Menachos says, I have a lot of real estate, so I agreed to sell you a building for $500,000. Buy is bein batai ani moichaloch. I have homes in Manhattan. I have buildings in New Jersey. I have in Texas. I have in Florida. I have all over the place. So I say $500,000. Buy is bein batai ani moichaloch. So which house did he sell it? So he wants the lokeach wants for his $500,000. He wants the building in the middle of Manhattan. I say, no, there's a little shack in Tennessee that's worth $10. That's the one that I'm selling you. So the Gemara says, I'm waiting to machaber all of our right. So the one who's selling is muchzak on everything. I have the money and I have the houses. You've got nothing. So I can stick you with a little shack in Tennessee that's worthless. Okay. And there's no data by Noah Karkoa, so you lost your pins. So the Rashbo, yes, Akasha, on that Gemara, what do you mean, buys bein botan in machabostach and brere? You don't know which house he's selling him, the kasha that you asked. I'm being makne, metalplim, agav, dalar amas, yeshli, beretz Yisrael. Somewhere I have dalar amas. I don't know whether I'm shevet Reuven, God, chat to shevet HaMenashe. I don't know what shevet I belong to. So I have dalar amas somewhere. I don't know where. I have. Isn't that a problem of Ein Brera? That's what the Ran and Gittin raises, the Ran on the Rift of Yud Gimel. So here, the Rashbo and the Tshuva, the Nesivis and Chayesh Mishpah, quotes the Rashbo, yes, that kasha. When he's selling bais bein bata ani moichaloch, and no one knows where in the world the bais is, truly he owes bai. I can prove I have documents for all the real estate that I own. I own buildings all over the world. But I didn't designate, I didn't specify which house I'm selling. So how can you be kind of anything? Why do I have to give you anything? I should have to give you your money back, and I should say the whole kinyan was nechal, because they ain't rare. So that's where Reb Shimon talks about that kasha. That whole kunches, Mareches HaKinyan, works on that. Somehow that's not considered a violation of Brev. It's a question, why not?
He knows where it is.
Huh?
He knows where it is.
Even
no difference since the...
No.
The
Meicher knows that he has 100 different buildings, 500 different
buildings. Exactly,
even if he didn't have a mind, if he didn't have a mind. The din is I have a right to stick him with the garua. But I didn't even have that in mind at the time. My mind was blank at the time. So that's the kasha that the Rashba asked. Isn't this a violation of Ein Brera? B'dinim derais, Ein Brera. It's a good kasha. So we ran through the 10 takonis of Ezra on Pei Beis Amid Aleph. Ezra made 10 takonis. One of the ten takanos says that a balkeri has to be toivel in a mikveh. So the Gemara asked on the top of Amud Beis, the fourth line from the top. A balkeri has to be toivel in a mikveh. It's a pasuk in Chumash in Vayikra, Perek Tezvav. Gemara says, no, the din derais is that he's tomei, he has to go to mikveh in order to become tor, for chumah lekotchim purposes. Ezra made a takana de Rabbanon that for divrei Torah, for davening, he has to go to the mikveh. Takana is balkeri. So the simple reading of the Gemara is, for chumah lekotchim, it's a din derais, and for davening, it's a din de Rabbanon. For davening and learning, it's a din de Rabbanon, that's the pasuk pshat. So that's what Tosfos Frek Takasha, the top Tosfos, it appears in a few Masechtos. We have a rule: Ain bezn yochel levatul divrei bezn nechaverim kein god lehemenu b'chochma v'minyan. A later bezn cannot repeal a takana of an earlier bezn unless the later bezn is greater in scholarship and greater in numbers than the earlier bezn. So how can Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who lived in the days of the Tanoim, how can Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira repeal the takanas Ezra that a balkeri has to go to mikveh in order to learn Torah? Did he think that he was greater than Ezra? Greater b'chochma b'minyan and had the ability to repeal takanas Ezra. That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos says maybe Ezra, maybe they had a tradition that Ezra incorporated a clause into the takana. They call Mishiratzel Levatel Levatel, because there's a Gemara. My cotton that says like that. Whatever the water made the original din the Rabbanon said call Mishiratzel Levatel Yodel Levatel. So then there's no restriction of God Lahamen and b'chochma b'minyan. Inami Tosfos says. Maybe he made an investigation, a research, and he came to the realization that it's in Rabat Tzibi Cholim Lamed Bo, that most of the people just couldn't, they found it way too difficult to insist that they have to go to mikveh every time they want to learn, every time they want to daven. So if it's ain't bezn, if it's ain't Tzibi Cholim Lamed Bo, then a later bezn has a right to repeal it, even if it's not greater b'chachma v'mini. These are the two terutzim that Tosfos suggests on the top of Pei Beis on the base. The Miriam Brachas, in the end of the third parak, Misha Mesamut Telefonim, Tosfos quotes from Dabchot Beis. Miri over there suggests that the 10 takanas of Ezra could be that 9 are takanas of Rabban. Maybe this one is a real din daraisa. Why do you call it a takana? So he refers you to another Gemara. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Yechem Azaka was the chief rabbi, he was chief rabbi for 40 years. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechem Azaka died at the age of 120. The Gemara says, the first 40 years, Osak Bik Prak Matyo, and he became a rich man. And he retired at the age of 40. Didn't have to work anymore. Then, but he was busy making his money. So at the age of 40, he started to learn seriously. So for 40 years, he learned. From the age of 40 till the age of 80. There's still hope. Even if you didn't learn a word, look at Rabbi Kiva, look at Rabbi Mazaka. Even if he starts to learn at the age of 40, when he reaches the age of 80, he's appointed the chief rabbi. People were surprised. Rabbi Lezer Shach became the Gadol Ador at the age of 80. Rav Mezaka also became the Gadol Ador at the age of 80. Nothing to be surprised. He didn't live as long. Rav Lezer Shach didn't live for 40 years after. Rav Mezaka was a chief rabbi for 40 years. So the Gemara says, during the 40 years that he served as chief rabbi, he and his best made 9 takonis. Not 10, the Gemara says 9 takonis. So the Gemara says, what are the 9, one of the 9 takonis? They all appear in Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah. One of the 9 takonis of Rav Mezaka was that you're not permitted to eat Chodosh all day long, the first day Chalamoid Pesach. Yom Henef, Yom Tenuf HaSoim, Makula Yosef. This mancha based on Mikdush HaYikayim, so the Mishnah says, Menachs Perk Rabbi Shmuel, when Hikrivu HaOimer, when they brought the Mincha Soim in Yerushalayim, and we knew approximately what time it was in the morning, so all over the world there was Mutter to eat Chodosh. Sometimes the Kohen Gadol had a bad day, sometimes someone was lazy, sometimes it was bad weather, whatever. But the Mishnah says it never happened, it never ever happened that they brought the Mincha Soim after Chatzos, or by Chatzos, when you know it's Chatzos in Yerushalayim, then all over the world everybody can eat Chodosh. They don't have to call on the telephone to check to find out whether Hikriva or by Chatzos, it's a double bar that they were Makav Diyan. That was Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdosh HaYikam. Bizman HaZeh is not Beis HaMikdosh, so the Gemara says there are 2 psukim. You shouldn't eat Chodosh Ad Etzem Hayayim HaZeh. Ad haviyacha misayim atnufa. So it's a contradiction. Ad haviyacha means as soon as you bring the karma mincha sam, you're allowed to eat. Ad etzem hayayim hazeh means itzuma shal yam. Itzuma shal yam is the daytime part of tezayinism, as opposed to the leil tezayin. Itzuma shal yam is the daytime part. So the Gemara says it's a contradiction. Is it mutter to eat chodesh after hakravas mincha sam or ad itzuma shal yam? The Gemara says no contradiction. Mizman shebeis hamikdash hayikayim, and they actually brought the Mincha Hasayim, they didn't just talk about it and learn about it, they actually brought it. So from the minute they brought the Mincha Hasayim, so everyone is allowed to eat the Chodosh. Bizman shein beis hamikdash kaim then itzuma shel yom is matir. So bizman hazeh itzuma shel yom. So the Gemara has a shaila. How do you read ad etzem hayom zeh? Ad v'ad bichlal or ad v'lo yad bichlal? You have to wait till the end of the daytime after Zion Nissen. Or you say ad v'lo yad bichlal up until and not including the morning of Tezayin Nissen. So the Gemara says ad v'yad bichlal. The din deraisa is that it's only muta tit chodesh bizman shein beis hamikdash kaim. After the whole Yom Hanif goes by. So the Gemara asks, so why did you list this as one of the nine takanas of Rabbi Yechim and Zaka? This is a din deraisa. The Gemara says, you're right, it is a din deraisa. When we call it one of the nine takanas, what we mean is that Dorash Vehiskim. He publicized this drasha, he publicized this din. When you talk about takanas, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're talking about dinim derabbanan. To be mefarsim a din deraisa is also called a takana. A lot of Rishonim hold that Pruzbul is a din deraisa. But the Mishnah calls it Takanas Hilo. Hilo was Mefarsim the din. Other Rishonim say that that's ridiculous. Pruzbul is a din deraisa. Nah. Pruzbul is a din derabbanan based on a din deraisa. But Tosis in Gittin on the Sugya. Tosis in Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav. Daf Lamed Zayin learns. No, Pruzbul is a din deraisa. So how do you call it Hiskin? Hilo publicized the din that everybody should know that there's an Eitzah of Pruzbul. You shouldn't withhold your loan because you're afraid the guy's not going to pay. Make yourself a Pruzbul and you don't have to worry about collecting your debts after Shemitah comes to a close. So here also the Miri wants to say the Gemara in Brachis and Daf Chabeis learns this out from a Pasuk that a Balkeri is not allowed to teach Torah. A Balkeri shouldn't teach Torah. So it learned out from a Pasuk. So why does it say over here that it's a Takonas Ezra? So the Miri suggests, no, it's a Din Daraisa, Drosha Gemara Din Daraisa. Ezra was the one who developed this Drosha. He was Mefarsim this Drosha. We have a concept sometimes in a later generation that Beis Din makes a drasha on a pasuk, and the drasha becomes a din deraisa. Maybe it wasn't observed all the years from the days of Maimon Har Sinai to the days of Ezra. Maybe it was a chiddush that Ezra was mechadish. But once he was mechadish, then it's a gloy Muslim afreya. Al pi pashtun said that was always the din. That was a din deraisa. So that's what the Meiri says. The only time you need a Beis Din gadol b'chafam minyan to repeal a rabbinic enactment that was introduced by an earlier Beis Din, that's only if they're repealing a rabbinic enactment. But if the earlier Beis Din held the din deraisa is like so because we darshan the pasuk in such a way. The later Beis Din holds that we should darshan the pasuk differently. So then you have the din. Ein lucha l'shefet shev yamecha. Avos ala shefet ashir b'yamim ha'em. Ein lucha l'shefet shev yamecha. Yiftach b'dorek yishmol b'dorek. The Beis Din in every generation is entitled to their opinion. The Gemara tells in the middle of Zvachim about Daf Sama Beis HaSom that the whole Tkuvas by Shishan for 410 years, they did Nisach HaYayin in one way. Then there was a break of 7 years of Golus Bavel, there was no Beis HaMikdash. When they built the Beis Sheni and it lasted for so many more years, they did Nisach HaYayin differently. They didn't do it the same way. They darshan the Pasuk differently. So the Sfasemis there asked Akasha, do you mean to say that for the 410 years of the Beis Shishan they always did wrong? How can that be? So he tries to give a teretz al pikabola why Bais Rishon had to be like that and Bais Sheni had to be like that. Eilu v'eilu. They were right in the tkufa Bais Rishon, they were right in Bais Sheni. The Pashto says that it's not a problem. That's the halacha. Eilu v'eilu divrei kimchai. During the period of the first Beis Hamikdash, they followed the Poisek who told them to do Nisach Hayayin like that. During the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, they didn't have to be greater b'chachma v'minyan to reverse the psak of the earlier Beis. And we're talking about a din deraisa here. How are you supposed to organize? How are you supposed to do the Nisach HaYayin? So the later Beis Din darshan the pasuk differently. So Nishkan Kasha. That's what the Rishonim quote from the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Shvius. That the Mishnah says that the Shammai and Bisilo both held that there's a din of Tosef and Shvius. You have to be Moisif, just like in Moisif in Choy Lalakoyde Shabbos and Yontev. So you have to be Moisif, Tosef and Shvius. Before Shemitah comes in, you have to add on. And then you have Rabbi Gamliel lived after the Churban Abayis. He did away, he abolished the whole institution of Tosef HaShviz. Rishami asked the Kasha, how can it be? Rabbi Gamliel, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, thought that he was greater b'chokhma v'minyan than the Talmidei Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. They, years earlier, they instituted Tosef HaShviz, and he did away with it. What happened to the rule? Rabbi Gamliel didn't think that he was greater than Talmidei Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Yishalmi Yen says, no, b'shosha asru la mikro samchu. B'shosha hitiru la mikro samchu. It was a machlekes on the level of a din deraisa. So there you don't have to be gadol b'chachma v'minyan. whoever expresses his opinion, if the person is entitled to an opinion, he has to express his honest to goodness opinion. So Rabbi Gamliel expressed his opinion in disagreement with Beis Shammai and Mishael. So that's where the Rishonim quote that Yerushalmi in the beginning of Masechet Shviyos. Taisus and Rosh Hashanah quotes it, and Daf Tesa and Aleph, and the Rambam quotes it. So that's what the Miri says over here. He says that this Takonas Ezra, the 10 Takonas Ezra, 9 of them are Takonas Rabbanon. He said this one he thinks is a Din Deraisa, that about Keri is not allowed to learn Torah. He thinks that was always a Din Deraisa based on a Pasuk. And that's what enabled Rabbi Yudah ben Misera in the later generations to disagree with Ezra, because Ein Lo Chalo Shefet Shab Yamecha, he darshan the Pasuk. Just like Geish is not Mekabel Tumah, so the Divrei Torah not Mekabel Tumah either. The Gemara in Pei Beis Amud Aleph quoted the din of Chatzitza. Yeah, there are two different dinim. There's a din, let's say a person is Tevel HaMikvah, they leave their hand out. Or a woman, a man, a woman has long, long hair. And they're Tevel HaMikvah, their whole body is under the surface of the water. But the hair is on top. The hair didn't submerge under the water. So that's called the lack of bias mind. The person was never toivel his hand. He's never toivel the hair in the mikveh. What if the person is fully submerged under the water, but they have a bandage on their finger? So that is considered. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very lamdish tshuva. And Chelek Aleph Yerodeh, he says, that's bias mayim, but that's a din of chatzitza. So the din of chatzitza dictates that min hatorah it's only chatzitza if it's rubay u'makpid. Let's say the person has a bandage on part of his finger, that's only a miut, so that's only a chatzitza m'derabban. If it would leave out the pinky, if he leaves out the finger, the whole tefillah is no good. That's halacha, you have to have bias mayim on the whole body. But in hilchas chatzitza, there's a din that rubay kukula. It's only considered a chatzitza if it's rubay u'makpid. If it's a miut, or even if it's ruba veina makpid, then it's not considered a chatzitza on the level of the rice. So then the Gemara says, b'negeir to tefillah, where do we see halacha lemaisa that this? Well, here is one difference. If you leave out the pinky, that's a din deraisa, it's no good. If he's toivel and has a chatzitza on the pinky, that's only a problem the rabbanon, because it's only miut. Yeah. Where else do we have a difference on the level of the deraisa? In the Beis HaStorim. Let's say a person, the Gemara tells a story in Kiddushin, the first parak, a woman was tovel in the mikveh, and then she picked a bone, there was a bone that was caught in between her teeth when she ate dinner that evening. So after she went to the mikveh, then she dislodged the bone from in between her teeth, and it was a bone that was makbid. She would have been makbid on it to remove it. She wouldn't have gone to sleep without brushing her teeth or without in order to get out the dental floss, in order to get the bone out of her teeth. So the din is, even the Rishonim all say, there is no din, even machatchila, that you have to open up your mouth when you go into the mikveh, that the water, or you have to open up your eyes, or that you have to jump. Tosfos talks about the people who are flying. They would be toivel in the mikveh, so they were afraid that the bottom of their feet are not getting wet, so they would jump up, but you have to jump up in such a way that your head is submerged below the top of the water, and your feet are not touching the floor. Feet are touching the floor, so it's a chatzitza. The Taisa says, what kind of chatzitza? It's not, that's called the Beis HaStorim. The bottom of the foot, normally when you stand on the ground, you don't stand on one leg. Normally a person stands on 2 feet. So the bottom of the foot is considered Beis HaStorim, doesn't need Bias Mayim. And inside of the mouth is Beis HaStorim, and inside the eyes is Beis HaStorim. There isn't even a need l'chatchila for Bias Mayim there. But if you would have a chatzitza, there's a lot of guk inside the eyes. The person had an infection, and inside of the eyes he has guk. That's a miuta makbid. So the Mishnah says in Mikvah that that constitutes a chatzitza. Or the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the Maisa b'shivchos shal beis Rebbe, Rabbi Yudah Nasi Shivcha was toivel in a mikveh, and then it turned out that she had a bone that was caught lodged in between her teeth in such a way that it was annoying, and she would have been medactic to take it out if she would want to. She wouldn't leave it like that. So that's a miuta makbid. So although you don't have to open up your mouth l'chatchila, but if you have a chatzitza in the Beis HaStorim, that passes. Yeah, that's a big machlokes, but the chatzitza in Beis HaStorim, is that a din deraisa, din derabanan? Taisus in Nida, there's a long Taisus in Nida, Taisus makes it into a din deraisa. Taisus says, based on psukim, Rochat says, kol besara b'mayim. Rochat says, kol besara b'mayim. It says, kol. Yeah, but the Beis HaStorim, you don't need tefila. So Taisus says, Rochat's kol besara goes, that if you have a chatzitza in the Beis HaStorim, it passes. And the Ritva is a very popular Ritva, the Ritva in Kiddushin. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and many of the later Poskim, Marsham and many others, toy with the Rabbi Moshe, doesn't go with this Mahalach. But the other Achrenim have adopted the Shita Saritva. The Ritva says it can only be with the Rabban. It can't be that this is a diminator. You don't have to open your mouth at all. You don't even need Bias Mayim. But if you have a chatzitza in the base, Hastarma makes it worse. How can that be? How can that be? Tosi says it can be based on psukim, as Rosh Hashanah.
That's possibly used that Mayim, the person has to be completely submerged,
called
Busara. So how
do you
use it?
I don't know. How do you learn out the two dinim from the same pasuk? I don't know. You learn out that you need Bias Mayim for the whole body. And then you learn out that chatzitz is possible only if it's chatzitz only possible in Atar if it's ruba yomakpid. If you have a little chatzitz on a tiny part of the body, that's only a chatzitz in the rabbanon. Yeah. So many of the later poskim on mitzadet lehokel, they're noted to say like the Ritva. Rav Moshe does not go like that. They're noted to assume like the Ritva. The chatzitz in the beis hastorim is only the rabbanon. And usually all the chatzitzes we're talking about is going to be a miut. Talk about a bone. She has so many teeth in her mouth. There's only a bone in one little place. That's only a miut. So that's what the Marsham is known as, a big mekel. So the Marsham in Chilis writes, well, to begin with, you're dealing with a trader rabbanon. It's only chatzitza and beis hastorim in the Ritva. Ikir is like the Ritva that it's only with the rabbanon. And then it's only a chatzitza and the miut. So it's a double din the rabbanon. So you're not mechuyev to be machmir so much. So that's what their attitude is. If you find any stat lahokel, if it's a trader rabbanon, so you should be mekel. Moshe is not that Rav Moshe is usually mekel, but on this one he's not so mekel. He treats chatzitzes inside the mouth with the same severity as chatzitz on top of the head. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Let's say a woman needed dental work and she has they had to sew up her gums, so she has stitches there, and the dentist says you need the stitches, have to be there till next Friday. So Rav Moshe is noit alahakal that as long as you need the stitches, that's not called a chatzitz. So many point out, according to Rav Moshe, the same is that the stitches would be on the outside of the head, not only inside the mouth. Rav Moshe doesn't consider that an added sniff lahokel by virtue of the fact that it's beis hastorim. He doesn't adopt the Ritva shita that chatzitz and beis hastorim is only midirabbanan. Other achrayim have adopted that. It's only midirabbanan. Rav Moshe says it doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch that it's only midirabbanan. It says certain kulis in the beis hastorim. So he explains on the level of the raisin, all the kulis. He says it's not because we adopted the Ritva shita. So we have not adopted the Ritva. The chatzitz and beis hastorim is only the rabban. Anyway, then the Gemara has an added chiddush and another chiddush that rochatz is called b'sar b'mayim. You have to be tov your body in the mikveh. What about I have long hair? The man of them has long payas, and the payas are hanging out of the mikveh. Is that a good tefillah or not? He didn't have bias mayim. So I would have said, that's not Besaroi. The body was Tevel submerged under the mikveh. The hair is not part of the body. The Gemara says, no, the word S, what is it? S Besaroi, S Atafel Besaroi. The word S is Marbe. Number one, that you need Tevila on the Seor. One might have thought that you don't even need Tevila on the Seor. You need Bias Mayim. Number two, that there's a din of Chatzitz on the Seor as well. Dilma Mikter. The Gemara talks, if you have knotted hair, that'll be a chatzitz. Usually a chatzitz only if you have makbid. Who's makbid? So, a man has short hair. What does he care? Comes his hair once in a while. He's not makbid on anything. Women, they're makbid. They have long hair. They don't want to have knots in the hair. So that's what the Gemara says. Dilma mikter. In ami moist meat, if you have some dirt that's stuck today, you have some paint. So that would be a chatzitz and a miuta makbid. So we learn that from psukim, both of these dinim. Number one, that you need bias mayim on the hair. And number two, that the laws of chatzitza apply to the hair as well. Rashi has a famous opinion, Bekama Mekomis, and Tosfos always quote the Rashi, and they disagreed the beginning of Sukkah, the beginning of Erev, and the same Gemara appears. Rashi's opinion is, the same Gemara appears because the same member appears, Shiur and Chatzitzin and Mechitzin, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So Gemara says, Chatzitzin, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, sometimes Hilchas Chatzitza, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, and sometimes they're only the Rabbanon. The Miut HaMakbid or the Ruba Shena Makbid, that's only the Rabbanon. But if it's Ruba or Makbid, then that din of Chatzitza will be a din derayt. That'll be a Chatzitza derayt. Here on this Seor, there's Rambam quotes unusual Rambam. Rambam usually doesn't quote any machlokes. I think there are less than 100 places where the Rambam quotes, I say like this and someone else says the other way. Very few places where he quotes a machlokes on anything. He writes in the beginning of the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, there's machlokes on everything. He's only going to quote the accepted opinion. But still, once in a long, long while, he quotes a machlokes. Here he has a machlokes with the Gaonim. When you have a chatzitz on the hair, let's say all the hair is all stuck together with guk, there's dirt, there's filthy paint got stuck on the hair. So the Gaonim say you treat the hair as a separate entity to determine whether it's ruboy or makbid. You have a chatzitz that is makbid, so the Gaonim say if it's roiv of the hair that the chatzitz is on, that's called ruboy. The Rambam says, what are you talking about? Roiv of the whole body. The pasuk is megala that the hair is considered a chelik of the body, even though if you want you can shave off your head. If you shaved off your head, so you only have to worry about chatzitzas on the body. You have no hair. Because when a person has hair, the seir is kegufoi, and he has to be concerned about the chatzitzas on the seir. Kozman is attached, you have to be concerned about chatzitzas. But even if the whole hair is full of chatzitzas, that the whole hair is only a miut of the rest of the body. And the goyim treat the hair as a separate entity.
Is it like one
etzem? Oh, so there's a machloikes, machloikes harishonim. What did the goyim mean? So Rav Velvel of Soloveitchik has in the Sefer on the Rambam, he just points out this machloikes, the Rambam, the goyim. So he says the goyim said that since seir is a separate riboy from a separate pasuk, so seir is a separate unit for tefillah. You have to, the rest of the goof is judged l'chud, and the seir is judged l'chud. And the Meiri, in the beginning of Erevin, understood the Goinim as having said that I treat every organ of the body, every aver of the body, independently with respect to establishing whether you have a chatzitza on roiv or a chatzitza mil. So let's say the Mishnah in Aholos lists off, it says, kazayis menames is metame, but an aver menames is metame. Even an Aver Menachai is also Matam. So what's the definition of Aver? It says in the male body there are 248 Avarim. So the Mishnah says that every joint that has a full bone and has a little bus and has a little bit of Gidden on it, it's a bus of Gidden Matzamas is the definition of an Aver. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says in a whole, this is one Aver, this is two Avarim, this is three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Each one of the joints in the finger has a bone, has a complete bone, has Basar around it, part Basar and part Gidden, holding everything together. So the Meiri understood the Goinim as saying not only the Seir is treated as a separate entity, he says every Aver in the body, the Seir is treated as if it were a separate Aver, and he says every joint in the finger has the status, every unit in the finger has the status of an Aver. And you treat every Aver independently with respect to chatzitza and the roiv. Then the Gemara says, Ezra Seifer made a takana that you should learn Kriyas HaTorah Monday and Thursday. Gemara, what do you mean Ezra made a takana? That was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayelchus Shloshi Samim Velo Mayim. Gemara says, no. Days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they made the original takana, but Ezra expanded on it. What did he expand? Either originally there was only one aliyah and Ezra made it into three aliyahs on Sheni V'Chamishi, or perhaps there were always three aliyahs, but originally maybe there was only one pasuk each, and now Ezra made a takana. Each person should get three psukim, and the sachar kol of the whole Kriyas Ador should not be less than 10 psukim. So the Gemara adds on in Megillah, so what you're saying is that on a Monday morning, or Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, you have to give three aliyahs, you're not allowed to make hoisafos. People have to run to work. So you have to give not a minimum of three aliyahs, you have to give exactly three aliyahs. You can't give more, you can't give less. You have to give three aliyahs. And the three aliyahs, two of them should have a minimum of three psukim, and one of them should have a minimum of four psukim. Now, which one should have the four psukim? So the Gemara says, whoever gets the four psukim aliyah is meshubach, hareza meshubach. If the kohen gets it, so he got the aliyah, that's meshubachas. If the Levi got four psukim, so he got the aliyah, that's meshubachas. The one that has more psukim is considered a mochosh of aliyah. So that's a question. Every so often we have a Kriyas HaTorah where we have a very brief aliyah with three psukim, and the next aliyah has 45 psukim in it. You could have given the first guy another couple of psukim and made him happy also. He could have had four psukim is better than three. That's what it says in the Gemara Megillah. So a lot of times we have it like that. I don't know, it's very strange. Baruch HaLevi Epstein was a lady. His father was a lady. His grandfather was a lady. The one who wrote the Torah to me. So he wrote an autobiography that he calls Mekor Baruch. So he writes that his father was Darach HaShulchan. His father had a brother who was quite a character. He was a Levi. So he says, on the Tainus Sibur, the Levi's Aliyah only had three psukim. And the next Shlishi has 35 psukim, has plenty of psukim. So when his uncle used to get the second Aliyah on the Tainus Sibur, he would refuse to say Ashanas Alano, refuse to say the Baruch HaShalachreah, unless the Balkor would give him another couple of psukim. He said, why is the Yisrael hogging all the psukim? He doesn't need the 35 psukim. So he said he would terrorize the whole minyan. He would refuse, his uncle would refuse to say the bracha Ashenasan lano, unless they gave him more. The pashtus is that that's what it says in the Gemara, that if the kohen gets the four psukim, arizem b'shubach, and if the lady gets the four psukim, arizem b'shubach, and if the shlishi gets the four psukim, whoever gets an aliyah with four psukim is more b'shubach than the one who gets an aliyah with the three psukim. So if he can give everybody four psukim, so why not? Why not give everybody an aliyah with shubachas? Every so often we have a case like that. That there's one aliyah next to the other. One aliyah only has three psukim. The other aliyah's lopsided, has many more psukim.
This only comes up now when he asks about Kodesh. The
Ola Lator would do what? Would read. Oh, yeah. Would read as much as he wants. Yeah, just has to leave room for the others. So they would always grab four psukim. Yeah. On Purim, the Gemara says that takana was that each aliyah, the final takana was, each aliyah should have a minimum of three psukim, and the sacha kol, the sum total of the whole Kriyas HaTorah, should be a minimum of 10 psukim. Yeah. So on Purim, there's a problem. Vayom HaMolad, there are only 9 psukim. So Tosfos and Megillah raises the question. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, Tosfos has two answers. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the two answers. So the Mechaber quotes the answer that you read over the last pasuk twice. In fact, there's a shul over here in the neighborhood, but that's what they do. They're from the Friedigger. It's a Yekesh shul. We don't change any minhogim. And they have these minhogim from 3,000 years ago. They have from 5,000 years before Avraham Avinu. They have very old minhogim. So they have the meaning that they lain over the last pasuk twice. They lain over the last. That's what it says in the Mechaber. Many, many German shuls follow Sokim from the Mechaber, like in Broyers. They say the Haftaris of the Svardim. And they don't say Shechion on the morning of Purim. They don't say Shechion of the second day of Rosh Hashanah and Tkir Shoifer. That's the Mechaber. They follow the Rambam. They don't have Minig Ashkenaz, they have Minig Svard for some reason or another. So this shul in the neighborhood on Purim morning, they lay over the last pasuk twice. And most places in the world, they don't lay over the last pasuk twice. They follow the other answer that Tyson gives. Whenever it's Shalom in Yona, then you don't have to have 10 psukim. Yeah, what is that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested a mahalach. He said, sometimes if you only get an aliyah with 2 psukim, you didn't even scratch the surface, you don't even know what the topic is that's being discussed. So he gave a mashal. The first pasuk may say, V'adav Hashem Moshe Lema. It doesn't say anything yet. It still doesn't say anything. You don't even know what the topic is all about. So they made a takana that every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, at least you should have a haskala of the topic. And then they made a takana that the whole sum total of the Kriyas HaTorah of 3 aliyahs, not on Chalamoida, Rosh Chodesh give 4 aliyahs, and Yom Tov give 5 aliyahs, and so on. But on the Sheni V'Chamishi, in Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, the sum total should be 10 aliyahs. Why? If you need 3 aliyahs and each one is 3 psukim, 3 times 3 is 9, how do you get 10? No, because in 10 psukim, it'll probably, even if it's a long parsha, after 10 psukim, you probably will have already completed a big chunk of the inyan. What if it's already finished in 9 psukim? So Taisa says, no, finished. Shalom and Yana. So from the fact that Taisa says, if it's Shalom and Yana, it'll be sufficient with 9 psukim, seems to indicate that that's the whole basis of the din. Why they made a takana, that you have to have 10 psukim? In 10 psukim, you know for sure that it will have already, you have already completed a certain unit, even if you didn't finish the whole story, the whole parsha, you will have already finished a big chunk of the story. So in those places where they have the minhag that they're laying over the last pasuk twice, so they satisfy, they do it because they hold like that opinion that Tosfos says in order to satisfy the takana to lane, ten psukim. But you also gain another thing, that that aliyah is meshubach. That aliyah is meshubach. Each aliyah only had three psukim, but then they give the fourth, they give the third aliyah four psukim by reading over the last pasuk. So it comes out that he had four psukim. In Parsha Zohar, there were only three psukim. What we lay in Parsha Zohar is only three psukim. But in some shuls, they lay over the third pasuk twice, because they lay it once Zohar, once Zecher, and once they lay it Zecher. So if they lay it over twice, it comes out that you had four psukim. They made it more Meshubach. They made it Meshubach. Because the Gemara says Megillah, the aliyah that has four psukim is more Meshubach than an aliyah that only had three psukim. This is a big question in Shulchan Aruch. Was the original takon in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayelchus shloshes yamin b'mitvah v'lo motza mayim dorshim v'shivu samayim mayim ala Torah. Made a takon shel yelchus shloshes yamin b'lo Torah. So the takon was shel yelchus shloshes yamin b'lo Torah. So let's say if you didn't lay in Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, there was a snowstorm or whatever. So you can lay in Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday, because in order that it shouldn't be shloshes yamin b'lo Torah. The last time we laid was on Shabbos afternoon to Mincha. Then Sunday went by, and Monday went by, so maybe we should lay it on Tuesday. How do you say no? Well, no. That was the motivation of the takana. The etzema takana was Kriyas HaTorah Sheni Mechamisha. If it was snowing on Monday, it didn't lay, so if I found, over Yom Yabatul Kriyasa. You can't lay on Tuesday just in order to satisfy Shalayach Shloshi Yom Yabatul. So, in Shulchan Aruch, this is a machleke. Some of the Achrenim, I think that Teres Kenim on the bottom of the page, and Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, one of the early Achrenim says that if no one showed up in Shul on Monday, they didn't do it. There wasn't a minyan. There wasn't a minyan on Monday, and they didn't learn Kriyas HaTorah, so they can gather together on Tuesday and learn Kriyas HaTorah to fulfill the takana, Shalayach Shloshi Yom Yabatul. And the later Paschim disagree. They say, no, that was the motivation for the takana. The takana was Kriyas HaTorah Sheni Mechamishi. If you're laying on a day other than Sheni Mechamishi, where there's no takana, Kriyas HaTorah, so then the Tziv claims that the Birchas HaTorah that you'll recite will be a Brachah L'Matov. Because everybody already said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. When they woke up in the morning before davening, why are they repeating Birchas HaTorah again? So the answer is, Rashi says, because there's a new form of Liman HaTorah now. There's a special takana that you have to have Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. Yeah, this is by Medvar Mamorim if it's on Monday, but if you're going to lay it on Tuesday, and everybody already said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, so what are they saying again, Birchas HaTorah? There is no takana de Rabbono that requires it. So that'll be a shayla by Brachah L'Batol. And it's evil, so that's a Brachah L'Batol. Yeah, one of the ten takanas of Ezra is that you should eat shum. You should eat garlic on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara gives the reason for the takana is only applies to married people. Oynes Tamachacham is Mileil Shabbos, Leil Shabbos. What if a person is single? So what is he eating shum for? So the Pashto says the takana doesn't apply to single people. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, he insisted that the single Talmidim have to eat shum also, because a takana is a takana. So the quote that he said, the reasons that the Gemara gives for the takana, that's one reason. Maybe there are many more reasons that the Gemara wanted to conceal. So he thought that the reason that's official, the official reason mentioned by the Gemara would only apply to married people. But he thought that there were more reasons that even applied to single people. And he suggested maybe that's the reason why Dorish Mimin Yitzach Min Yinach Al HaTiro, and you don't say whenever Batla Tam is Batla HaTakana. Maybe the time that the Chazal mentioned is one of many timing. Maybe the other timing were not Batla. That's how the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said. We mentioned a few times the Mishkan is Yanke, gave a whole different hesbah. That even if you know for sure that there's only one time, and Batla Tam is still Loi Batla Takana. But that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. Okay, enough Chazar, Shem Genuk. Okay, we're up to a new piece of Gemara. Hasor Dvarim Nemar B'Yerushalayim. We're seven lines from the top of page base on the base, we got to start. Then we have to decide when we're going to have this midterm. It's almost time for the final. Okay. So someone's going to have to take a poll to determine when we're going to have the midterm. And we'll lean at it tomorrow. We'll learn Hasor Dvarim Nemar B'Yerushalayim. The price on page base on the base. Yeah, what do we make up tomorrow morning? I have to give a shiur 9:30. Okay. Here, yeah. This room, 9:30, yeah.